Oh, there's never anything on this time of night.
Can I talk to you?
Parce qu'il fallait une.
Oh, you didn't know? It's me, it's that D-O-double-G, the road dog, Jesse James. And you're listening on the SNS Radio Network. And if you ain't down with that, I got two words for you. Suck it.
Hey, this is Badass Billy Gunn.
My name is Armando Alejandro Estrada.
Hey, it's Roto Animal. What a rush. Yo, monkeys, it's me, TTP, the king of Bada Bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion. And you, well, you monkey, stay tuned or you will feel bang! I am the genius of glory and renown, Lanny Powell.
What's up, all you stars and studs? This is Mariette.
This is Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels, Mr. Hall of Fame, 2011, on SNS Radio Network. See ya, and I wouldn't want to be ya.
The world is listening.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
One cell, is this on? Yo, Jimmy, hit me with that Triple H.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the
three-time
wrestling radio show of the year, Wrestling News Live.
Oh, it's true! It's true!
With the bad boys of wrestling radio, the Trey Dog.
Got his own microphone, Tony. Larry, Mike.
And JJ.
All caps.
Sexy.
Stay thirsty, my friends.
And the winner of the People's Choice Award is...
Wrestling News Live. Here are your hosts, the Trey Dog and JJ Sexay.
All right, guys, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Wrestling News Live right here on the SNS Radio Network. Of course, I am Mr. Money on the Mic, JJ, all caps Sexay. And what an interesting night it's been so far with Raw. We'll be talking about that a little later on in the program. We've got pretty much a full show for you guys lined up for tonight. We're going to talk some news of the week, courtesy of wrestling-online.com. There were some releases on Friday from the WWE. We're going to get right down to the bottom of that. And on Friday, we also, Trey and I, had the opportunity of sitting down and conducting almost an hour-long interview with the man who is embroiled in a legal battle with one Abdullah the Butcher. I'm speaking of none other than Devin Hannibal Nicholson, who unfortunately caught Hep C, allegedly, from Abdullah the Butcher during a match, and it pretty much ruined his career, as his dream was not realized, WWE wouldn't take him, and you know, such a promising career to end on such a high note like that. It's pretty bad, but you're going to hear what Devin has to say about the lawsuit and, of course, Abdullah the Butcher, and get his side of the story. Also, we are going to be covering Raw later on the program, your phone calls and emails. You can call us later at 501-588-7957. Or send your emails to wnlshow@yahoo.com. Now, with that being said, the original founder of Wrestling News Live. Ladies and gentlemen, the dog is in the house.
Guess who's back?
Yes, there were indeed some cuts from the WWE. And CM Punk named almost all of them.
Leave it to old CM Punk to help us out with that.
He didn't name Melina. He didn't go for the skank. He said, ah, nope.
It's still a tender wound for John Morrison, so probably not best to...
I don't mean that. I'm not calling her a skank. I'm not.
Really, but, Trey? You just did.
But no, I was speaking for CM Punk.
Oh, I see where you're going with that, yeah. Okay.
But, you know, something we thought we would do last week was bring you this interview tonight. We wanted to make sure we struck while the iron was hot and, you know, get you this information. Because, I mean, It's funny doing this show as long as I have. I used to be that guy that was on the news sites every day, hitting them hard. I don't have to do that anymore because I've got the Wrestling Dash online newsletter. It comes to me. I don't have to chase the news. The top news of the day just comes to me. I appreciate that. So in the last couple years, I've really stopped being the guy that hits every news site. And to be honest with you, and no offense to those of you that work on news sites, but, you know, you guys all share about the same stories eventually. I quit chasing them. I just went to one or two sites. Now I go to one site. You know, I go to Headlocks. I go to my email. I get all the news I need. But even a guy like me who doesn't follow the news as closely as most. When Abdullah the Butcher went to the Hall of Fame, the first thought that came to my mind was, didn't he give some guy Hep C? And wasn't there a big blowout about him having Hep C and how he fucked some dude over? And that was back at the Hall of Fame. And this is still going on. This is still an ongoing thing. So when JJ said, hey, we got the chance to interview this guy, are you down? I'm like, hell yeah. Let's do it. And, you know, it's one of those interviews that, you know, if you're a real radio show, it's more than just interviewing wrestlers to me. If you want to be a complete show, you interview actors that play wrestlers. You interview people that are in the business that don't necessarily get in the ring. You do whatever you can do to entertain your audience and bring them up to date with the latest of what's going on in the wrestling world. And this is another one of those interviews that I feel separates us from a lot of people. And it's a great interview. I hope you guys enjoy it as much as I did. And we'll have that for you later in the show.
Absolutely. So I tell you what, why don't we go ahead and get things started? Because we're going to be short for time once we come back from the interview and run down Raw to take phone calls and emails. I don't plan on doing 3 hours tonight simply because, well, I got to edit the show after, and I got things to do in the morning. So not going to be a marathon show tonight, guys.
Not going to do it.
Not going to do it.
Not going to do it.
Not going to do it. Wouldn't be prudent.
Wish I had that dude's money.
Yeah, no shit. He made so much money doing that stuff that his career just died after he left Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Glad that he had a nest egg.
Yes.
So I tell you what, let's go ahead and jump into some news of the week. Sponsored by Wrestling-Online.com. Who's with me?
Excuse me! Excuse me!
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
May I have your attention, please?
And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
And now the news.
Well, I guess to start things off, we'll go ahead and break down the big news story that happened over the weekend. On Friday, the WWE, almost sounded like Triple H there, for the first time in WWE history, we have two champions. Apparently on Friday, the WWE released D.H. Smith, Chris Masters, Vladimir Kozlov. They were all future endeavored on Friday, as well as Melina, who, in case you didn't know, is the real-life girlfriend of John Morrison. Gail Kim, on the other hand, quit the company. And we kind of knew something was going on last Monday night on Raw when she eliminated herself in about, what, 30 seconds or less, 2 seconds
from the Battle Royal. And you know, she was told to go to the ring and eliminate herself. She was told to go to the ring and just jump, as soon as the bell rang, jump over the top ropes and act as if she was eliminated. And she said, well, won't they see that on the replay? They're like, no, just go ahead and do it. Nobody will notice. How does that make you feel?
Well, you know, again, it's sad to see a talent like Gail Kim, who I think is a fantastic and talented women's wrestler. I don't even want to call her a diva because that's not what she is. That girl can go out there and work her ass off. We've seen her do it in the past for the WWE. We've seen her do it in TNA in the knockout division. You know, she left TNA for the promise of more money, which, you know, who can say that they blame her for that? But at the end of the day, obviously, if she has to be eliminated from a match in like 10 seconds, what better way to drop to your knees and roll out of the ring and eliminate yourself from the Battle Royal? Fantastic statement by one Gail Kim. She apparently was talking on Twitter and basically said that she just did what she was told to do, to be eliminated as quickly as possible. So she officially quit the WWE on Monday. WWE fans all over the world went absolutely apeshit nuts over the releases of all these superstars. The IWC was going crazy. Who knew? Let's see. Chris Masters commented on his release. He issued a statement following his release. Obviously, I'm surprised by the move, wrote Masters, but I'm optimistic I'm going to move forward and see what lies ahead. I still love this business, and I'm not going to give up because of this small setback. I want to explore and see what options I have for the future. And you know what? I wish Masters luck. That was one that really bothered me.
Well, don't wish too much, because here's the deal. He's a really, really close, tight personal friend of RVD's. Where's RVD? Guess where Masters will be.
Yeah, but they won't know what to do with Masters.
Well, they treat all the other WWE guys like they're on a pedestal when they come in. Who knows?
Well, maybe. You know what? If the guy can go there and do something with his career, that's great. I just kind of feel like they missed the boat with him. I think he's a talented guy. You know, I think he can work his ass off in the ring. He's proved it. You know, maybe that first run he had in 2005 wasn't that stellar, but I have to admit, over the last year or two, I have really enjoyed watching Masters work. I just feel like they missed the boat with him, but, you know, it is what it is. There's a lot of rumors basically surrounding Harry Smith right now, D.H. Smith, if you will. Last I understood,
his name is Harry. They told us that tonight on Raw.
Well, CM Punk told us, but those of us who have met him before and know him, yes, his name is Harry Smith. Everything that I've heard, and I don't speak to Harry Smith on a regular basis. We're not best buddies. You know, I've worked with him a couple of times. I know him casually, but, you know, I wouldn't say that we're best friends. The only thing I know about Harry is he's probably going to Japan. So, more on that as we know.
Now, I was under the impression that he was going to announce that he was doing a merger with one of the teams in mixed martial arts.
It's possible, but I think he's going to do a tour of Japan first.
Because I heard Japan was really dry right now. It was tough for American talent to get over.
Well, you got MVP over there as the New Japan, what was it, Intercontinental Champion.
Really?
And A-Train is doing fantastic over there as Giant Bernard, so, you know. Those guys are making it over. Lance Hoyt's over there doing something now, so, you know.
Oh, wow. Well, if Hoyt can do it, by God, anybody can. If they're having Hoytomania in Japan, go, brother, go.
Hoytomania is running wild, Hoyt, brother.
Hoyt.
Oh, apparently, there were some other releases to FCW's developmental talent. Let me see. Bobby Dutch, Colin Cassidy, Deshaun Bishop, Jason Mullen, Leroy Parks. Oh, this one's going to upset Trey. Lucky Cannon, Cameron Lynn, and Sonya were all released from FCW as well.
Which one's Lucky Cannon?
Lucky Cannon was the guy on NXT that you thought was going to be the next Shawn Michaels. The long-haired kid.
I didn't say he was going to be the next Shawn Michaels.
You said you could
see him. He reminded me of Shawn
there
Michaels.
You go. It's the same thing, Trey. I mean, give or take.
No. A Big Mac reminds me of a Whopper, but they're not the same thing.
I don't see how a Big Mac reminds you of a Whopper, but that's another
story. Those are both hamburgers.
Okay, you got me there. Apparently, if you watched Raw tonight, you saw video footage of The Miz and Cena at the 2011 Teen Choice Awards. Yes, they are appealing to the kids, ladies and gentlemen. The Miz and John Cena were there to give an award to the cast of Glee. Who knew? And this is why they are a global phenomenon. And this is why PG works. So all those guys out there and gals that want to argue that the PG era is killing professional wrestling, just think about it for a minute. They're going after the kids.
It's all about the kiddies.
It's all about the children. For those of you that might have caught the Hardcore Justice pay-per-view last night, apparently Kurt Angle has now become the TNA World Heavyweight Champion. Huh? And I think he is now a, correct me if I'm wrong, is he 14-time or 15-time champion now?
I'm not sure.
I think he's 14. I think he's two away from Ric Flair's record. He's creeping up on Ric Flair quickly. Apparently, Rey Mysterio suffered another knee injury in a match against Alberto Del Rio. This happened in Fresno, California on Saturday night. This was following a knee injury he suffered the previous day in Salt Lake City. Mysterio was wrestling Alberto Del Rio when the injury occurred, and after Del Rio threw Mysterio out of the ring to buy some time, the match was rushed to an ending with Mysterio delivering the 619 and then the splash for the victory. In Fresno on Saturday, Mysterio came out for a promo, was attacked by Del Rio and R-Truth. It was later announced that he suffered an injury during the attack and can't wrestle. The same angle was done in Stockton yesterday. This time, however, John Morrison came out to help Rey Mysterio and was replaced by Kofi Kingston in a tag match. So it looks like Rey Mysterio, yet again, is probably going to undergo another knee surgery. You know what? Rey, we love you, but I think it's time to hang him up, buddy.
Man, he's had more knee surgeries than Kevin Nash.
I think he's had like 20 knee surgeries.
Unbelievable.
I mean, I know the merchandise is great for him. I'm sure he's made enough money. He's not, you know, like, he's not one of these guys that spends it on crap. I mean, he's obviously saved his money. He's fine. You know, I got to think that his career is nearing its end.
Yeah.
It's done. I mean, you want to get out while you're still young and you can still walk. I'd hate to see Rey Mysterio crippled. That would suck. Apparently, Steve Austin's new straight-to-DVD movie comes out tomorrow.
Looks good.
It's entitled Tactical Force. The movie follows the LAPD SWAT team during a training exercise, which goes terribly wrong when the team find themselves pitted against two rival gangs while trapped in an abandoned hangar armed with nothing but blanks. Austin, who plays the character of Tate, is joined by Michael Jai White in the leading roles. The movie is produced by the Canadian-based NGN Productions, a company which the WWE Hall of Famer signed a multi-movie deal with 2 years ago. This will be the fifth movie Austin has starred in for NGN, with the previous ones being Damage, The Stranger, Hunt to Kill, and Knockout. And if you go to wrestling-online.com, you can actually see the trailer for the movie. So, have you seen any of those movies, by the
Which
way?
Ones?
The Stranger.
I watched the first two that he put out. And then I watched one the other night while I was at work, where he was an MMA, underground MMA cage fighter, where he was a convict. And he was trying to make some money, quick money, to help a little girl out that he killed her father on accident.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one that's got Walton Goggins that was in the Shield, and he's on Justified.
Yeah.
Yeah, he plays a guy that's kind of helping him out and is also kind of a con artist. Yeah, it's a good movie. Yeah.
That's a good movie. I saw the first half of it all the way up to his first fight. Then I had to leave work, and I came home and got busy and forgot, but I'll watch it on the internet.
I think that's Damage, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen The Condemned. I saw the one where... Oh. Which is the one where they're on the island?
That's The Condemned.
That's The Condemned. Okay. I saw that one. I saw the one after that. And then I saw this one the other night. But this new one that he's got coming out looks really, really cool. He's got the guy that played Spawn in it, too. So.
Yeah, he played Spawn. He played Mike Tyson in the movie Tyson. He's been in a
looks
lot
like
of movies.
Mike Tyson.
He also played Black Dynamite.
Black Dynamite.
That's a great fucking movie, by the way.
In a chat line.
Here's some interesting things. I don't know if you know this, but TNA's Brooke Adams, Miss Tessmacher, won a Hooters contest.
Yes, she did. And the only person allowed to call her Brooke is apparently Tara from TNA.
Really?
Yeah, after the promo last night during the pay-per-view, Borash was interviewing them before their match, and Tara said, "Let's go, Brooke."
Oh, there you go. Now,
so I guess it's Brooke Tessmacher now.
Brooke Tessmacher, yes.
She can be, her name can be whatever she wants to be. It's all going to be about titties. They should just call her Titties. Hey, Titties, you got a match. All right. Hey, Titties, grab your belt. You got a match. All right.
Now, Trey, I don't know if you're keeping up with current
Titties?
Topics and former WWE divas, but you remember Stacy Keibler, right?
I do. Hard to forget that ass and those legs and that face.
Well, you also know who George Clooney
is,
right?
Talk about a girl that needed titties. If she had some titties, oh, my God, she'd be the hottest thing that has ever come out of a pussy, ever.
Now, you know who George Clooney is, right?
Big fan of the Cloonster. I like me some Clooney.
Well, believe it or not.
How can you not like George Clooney? He's about the coolest dude on the planet.
Well, according to celebrity magazine Life and Style, is reporting that former WWE diva Stacy Keibler has managed to land a major A-list Hollywood star as maybe her friend with benefits, none other than George Clooney. He's enjoying spending time with Stacy. He just got out of a 2-year relationship. George isn't ready for anything serious. The fling is purely for fun, said a source familiar with Clooney. Keibler reportedly flew to Italy to be with George at his villa in Lake Como, saying on her Twitter that she is in heaven. The two have known each other for a while and were set up by a mutual friend. They have a lot of friends in common and run in the same circles, another source told the magazine. George Clooney recently split with his girlfriend of 2 years, Elisabetta Canales, while Keibler split with her longtime boyfriend, Jeff Stoltz, about a year ago.
I mean, if you're George Clooney, who could you not call and get laid?
That's true.
I mean, all you have to do is go, "Hey, George Clooney." and he's getting laid. You know?
Yeah.
So, hats off to Cloonster. All right.
Cloonster is the man.
I watched, speaking of Friends with Benefits, that's what I watched last night.
Okay.
The new movie with Mila Kunis and Justin Timberlake. And, you know, for a dude that came from a boy band, I like Justin Timberlake. I respect Justin Timberlake. He's a hell of an actor. He nailed Britney when she was hot. When everybody wanted a piece of Britney, he had it and threw it away. I got it. I'm done.
Actually, that's not entirely true. He threw it away because she was cheating on him.
Well, he hit it and went,
well, again.
Whatever.
She was cheating on him. But to back
before
up.
Before the bitch got crazy.
Yeah. To back up a story we talked about earlier with DH, or Harry Smith, rather, Rick is actually reporting right now that he's been training at AKA, and he's not ready, obviously, to take pro fights. So, yeah, he will be going to Japan. That's what the rumor mill is turning out, that he's going to be doing some sort of a tour of Japan. And maybe later on, making an MMA debut. I mean, that's something he's wanted to do for a while. So if that's the route he wants to go, then I wish him luck.
All your best. All the best in your future endeavors, they say.
And just a quick note, Crelly sending me something really quick. Apparently, Melina...
Syphilis.
I hope not. Apparently, Melina was banned from Raw tonight. She traveled with Jomo and tweeted, "I'm still fired. I had this trip planned prior. I stand by my man. I was told I couldn't go in the arena to watch." Funny. Well, yeah. When they fire you, you're not exactly allowed back in, you dumb bitch.
You dumb shit.
What?
Why would you even
want
to go backstage?
What kind
of
idiot? What kind of idiot gets fired from the company and then expects to walk in the fucking door as a guest of one of the superstars the next week? And you wonder why they fired her ass. I tell you what. Damn.
Dumb, da-dum, dumb, bitch.
All right. We talked about last week on the show Maryse's problems with a stalker, right? So apparently 61-year-old Lee Sibler, the man who was being accused of stalking WWE Divas Champion Maryse, has been banned from coming within 300 feet of the blonde bombshell for the next 3 years.
According, just 300 feet?
Yes. According to a story on TMZ.com, a Los Angeles County Superior Court judge issued a warrant for Maryse's issued the warrant at Maryse's request. After going over the evidence, Maryse has been receiving phone calls to her landline, cell phone, and creepy letters and emails from the
stalker.
How
do you get these people's information? How do you get the phone number? I don't understand.
Well, see, yeah, she had to have given him the number or the email or something.
I mean, what did he do? Try to be like some kind of agent or something and then showed up with his pecker in his hand at her front door? I don't know.
Wow.
I'm just asking how
that's brutal, Trey.
How a 61-year-old man gets a girl's phone number that looks like Maryse.
I don't know, but
my hat's off to you, brother.
Jesus
I don't know.
Christ,
I don't know how
awesome.
You did it, but God bless you.
Wow.
The pipes still work.
My God.
My dad's 61, and I can't imagine him stalking a girl that looks like Maryse. I'm just like, come on, man. Really? Really?
That's awesome. So,
I just want to know how the dude got all that information. I think that's amazing.
Oh, that's the story in itself.
You know.
I wonder which radio show is going to be the first one to book Lee Sibler and ask him what it's like to stalk somebody.
Hey, if we could get him, get that motherfucker on the phone.
I'm afraid if we booked him, somebody else would book him too. So, you know.
Well, I'm just saying, let's get him. I want to ask him. The only thing I care about the whole fucking thing is how he got our personal information.
Yeah.
Hell, we might put him to work for us and get rid of Crowley.
No, I actually want people to come on this show and not issue restraining orders against the network.
Hey, girl. You and me on Wrestling News Live.
wait a minute. That actually does kind of look like the tweets that Crowley puts out to people.
Yeah.
Huh.
Stroking his dick at her front door. Hey. You want to be on our show?
Anyway, back to the news of the week. Apparently, the Raw rating for last week, they did a 3.3 rating, which is pretty good, with a total of 4,704,000 viewers. While the number is up from the previous week, the overall viewership decreased by 100,000, according to Nielsen Media.
Hey, CC Guitar Girls has got a great idea. I'm going to hire Lee Sibler to get me Velvet Sky's phone number.
Good luck with that, Trey.
Get me the stalker. I got to have him.
Apparently,
like in the mafia, they call for the cleaner.
Yeah.
We're calling for the stalker.
Apparently, WrestleMania does record revenue and profit. WrestleMania 27 managed to top the 1 million pay-per-view buys and reached record levels of both revenue and profit, said WWE Chairman and CEO Vince McMahon. This year's mega event featuring the return of The Rock had a total of 35.9 million of revenues and 16.7 million of profit contribution. Last year's show did 28.8 million of revenues with 13.1 million of profit contribution. The show had a massive marketing campaign leading up to it with the return of The Rock, the inclusion of Trish Stratus, and the appearance of Jersey Shore's Snooki.
Snooki!
Now, I'm pretty sure that the inclusion of Snooki had nothing to do with that buy rate. But mm-hmm. I'm just saying.
Did anybody see Jersey Shore this week?
I don't watch the show, Trey, so no, I didn't.
Holy fuck. They're in Italy. And shit is going to go down. Like, it's going to be more wrestling than wrestling.
Wrestling.
Yeah. Ronnie, the big guy, is going to knock the situation the fuck out. So bad that he's out. The lights are on, but nobody's home, and they have to take that motherfucker to the hospital. Go, Ronnie. Knock that motherfucker out for all of us.
Now, apparently Vince McMahon is not happy, Trey.
What? Get the fucking out. I mean, come on.
Vince McMahon, not happy. Can you believe it?
Shut the front door.
Well, most of all the departments inside WWE registered an increase in revenues this quarter thanks to WrestleMania. However, when taking the pay-per-view out of the equation, everything was flat compared to last year. Vince McMahon, speaking during the conference call this morning, said the results are nothing to brag about. It could have been worse considering the economy. Live event revenues did $35.2 million as compared to $29.2 million in the prior year quarter. Pay-per-views were up to $34.4 million as compared to $10.4 million. TV rights were $6.3 million as compared to $4.3 million. Licensing revenues were $12 million as compared to $8.7 million, right? WWE.com revenues were $3.4 million as compared to $3 million, and WWE Shop registered a whopping $2.8 million compared to $2.4 million. Home video took a big hit, losing $4 million over the prior year from $11.5 million to just $7.5 million. Vince is not happy.
Wow, that's a lot of losses.
That's
a lot of losses. Hey, shout out to OSU Snowman in the chat room. Long time listener.
Now the snowman's in the house.
He didn't come around often.
He does. He really does. But I think that's going to do it for the news of the week. So some very interesting things. I mean, I'm glad that Maurice finally got a restraining order against the stalker.
We can help Vince out. Do you think Vince would let us help him out?
I don't think so. If he did,
I mean, we could write him. If we get our ducks in a row and the Burkina Faso people come through, we could write him a check.
Oh, yeah, we could totally write him a check with the Burkina Faso fund.
I mean, fuck. I mean, I thought you said you needed money. We'll write you a check. Shit.
Yeah, no shit. Just to clarify, Miss Destiny's asking me, what did I mean about the Kurt Angle thing? I want to know how many world titles Kurt Angle has won. The last time I checked, I believe it was 13, which would make his win last night at Hardcore Justice
14.
His 14th title, his 14th World Heavyweight Championship reign. He's either 13 or 14 as of right now, which puts
Don't
him
guess.
Right up.
Don't guess and type a number and shit. We want the truth.
Yeah, I want the truth.
The truth. No little Jimmies, just the truth.
Anthony Farley says 14 total.
Just heavyweight.
Yeah, any heavyweight belt he's had. I'm talking WWE. I'm talking about New Japan Pro Wrestling, the IWGP belt. Any world heavyweight championship that he has had that's been a world title is included in these title runs. I'm not talking about Intercontinental Championship. I'm not talking about an X Division title. I'm talking about a world heavyweight championship, whether it be on American soil or in Japan. Hollywood says it's
15.
Yeah, he's saying it's 15. Either way, it's 14 or 15. I want a definitive answer before we go off the air tonight. Because if he's 15, then he's one world title win away from tying Ric Flair. Which is what he wanted to do. He wanted to be this generation's Ric Flair.
Right.
And it looks like he's either within one or two more world title reigns. So.
The Mega Dream does the rose there. It's the team, baby. Oh,
well, there you go. So we're one away then if it's 15.
There you go.
Well, I tell you what. On that note, that was the news of the week, sponsored, of course, by Wrestling.
News of the week, baby.
Wrestling-online.com. You know what? I'm not feeling this tonight. I'm a little off. I've had a rough day.
Well, your lifestyle has changed.
My lifestyle has changed. We had problems with the stream prior to the show, and I want to.
You know, it's starting a show with problems, and it's been in my experience. As you know, I am. A pioneer they said last night in this business. Pioneer, not a grandfather, but a pioneer. I like that better. But it's been in my experience, and people that know this show know that we're the ECW on Monday nights. Because if anything can go wrong, it will go wrong during Wrestling News Live. And now that hasn't happened for a while now, thank God, thanks to JJ. But I've always known that when you start a show and things don't go right from the get-go, that it puts you in a bad mood the rest of the way. At least it always did me.
Well, like I said, you know, it happened. We've got the situation resolved. And I want to send a thank you to Rick for getting the situation resolved.
But the good news is we got an ass load of listeners.
Oh, absolutely. We always do on Monday nights. And I love you guys.
We, thankfully, we're not a tree in the forest that doesn't make a sound. So with that being said, I think we should take a commercial break, come back, and do a little interview time.
I think so, too. I think you are absolutely right.
I knew what was coming up next.
All right, guys. With that being said, we'll be right back right after this with more Wrestling News Live as we bring on the show Devin Hannibal Nicholson.
I think Lee Sibler's at my door. Hold on. Go ahead.
All right. We'll be right back, guys, right after this.
This is Jeff Jarrett, the King of the Mountain, and I'm on Planet Jarrett right now, listening to Wrestling News Live.
WrestlingOnline.com, the official news source of Wrestling News Live. You're looking for the latest news in the world of MMA and professional wrestling. Log on to www.wrestling-online.com and sign up for the largest and longest running newsletter on the internet today, with over 26,000 subscribers and over 3,000 issues. And the best part, just like WNL, it's free! Once again, that's www.wrestlingonline.com.
You know, in the world of pro wrestling radio, there's always someone out there who will always try to get under your skin.
I want to really drive Andy to the point where he wants to choke me out, because I'm going to drive him right off the edge of the cliff.
They'll always try, but in the end, it always comes down to the truth.
That moment when silent rage blows the gasket, this match is over.
You know, I'm really just a nice guy at heart. But...
don't piss me off, okay?
I mean, come on.
The truth is going to hurt someone.
Catch your weekly search for the truth right here on the Pro Wrestling Rewind every Wednesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern, exclusively on the SNS Radio Network.
Hey fans, ring announcer Sean Beckerman here. Want to go back in time and relive the greatest and worst in the world of sports entertainment? From all-time favorite matches to the worst gimmicks in pro wrestling, we cover it all. So join us each and every week on the SNS Radio Network as we go beyond the bell.
This community service announcement is brought to you by our good friends at What Would Fans Do.
So, Randy, what did you think of the Eric Bischoff comments towards bashing the IWC?
He's in TNA. When does his opinion matter in the first place?
Total no-action wrestling.
Well, Bischoff says the 10%ers, the IWC, are irrelevant. Also, he's in TNA. Does that make him relevant? Because I'm pretty sure that many of the old WCW fans think he's way past his prime anyway.
Well, I don't know who's a bigger douchebag, Hogan or Bischoff.
Let's not forget Laurinaitis.
No, there is a difference to that. Laurinaitis is a cocksucker, not a douchebag. Well, I do think being in a room with those three guys, Hogan, Bischoff, and Laurinaitis, it would be like doing rhythmic gymnastics to a swarm of bees. Like, no matter what, it's just going to be really painful.
Or being Vince Russo and getting speared through a cage by Goldberg.
TNA sucks.
This community service announcement has been brought to you by your good friends from What Would Fans Do.
Hey, you. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Have you checked out the new Unplugged on Friday nights? Well, if you haven't, make sure you check out the new Unplugged Friday nights with JJ Sexay at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Mountain Standard Time, where JJ covers SmackDown, video games, and whatever the hell else he feels like. See you in chat.
This summer, there's only one reason to go inside. Event of the summer. SummerSlam. Live only on pay-per-view.
I think I'm cute. I know I'm sexy. I've got the look that drives the girls wild. I've got the move that really move them. I said chill. Up and down their spine. I'm just a sexy boy. I'm not your boy toy.
This is Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels, Mr. Hall of Fame, 2011. And you are listening to Wrestling News Live on SNS Radio Network. See ya, and I wouldn't want to be ya.
Their knees get weak whenever I'm around. They see me walk. They hear me talk.
All right, guys, we're back. Wrestling News Live right here on the SNS Radio Network. And joining me, of course, on the phone line, he is my co-host, the original founder of Wrestling News Live. Ladies and gentlemen, the outlaw of the IWC, the Trey Dog. And, man, we have a special, special surprise for you guys right now on the
special.
Line.
Special. Special.
Oh, you want me to go into the dusty voice, don't you?
I thought you were going to there for a second. You busted in. There's certain key words that when you say them, you think dusty.
You know, you're probably right, but I guess I'll do this right. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a special announcement for y'all here on the radio show here tonight, baby. Oh, my goodness.
Baby.
The plunder is about to happen, baby.
Oh, my goodness.
So with that being said, guys, actually joining us on the phone line, sponsored by HeadlocksToHeadlines.com, we have someone who's very notable in the news right now, a pro wrestler and someone that I know very well. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us on the phone line right now, we have none other than the man who has filed a $6.5 million lawsuit against Abdullah the Butcher. I'm talking about none other than Devin Hannibal Nicholson. Devin, what's going on tonight?
Oh, nothing too much. It was nice to hear the Shawn Michaels music. I personally like Sensational Sherry's version of the Sexy Boy song a little bit better. I remember that match at Wembley Stadium, the outfit she had with, like, the fishnet stockings.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. That was a great match, him against Marco.
You know, speaking of fishnet stockings, not to derail this thing before it even starts, but I'll never forget this for the rest of my life. Sitting at home the night that they caught Saddam Hussein, and you could tell that the Fox News crew was out partying, doing something in their own personal lives. They weren't expecting this. And they got the phone call. Get back to the studio. We got Saddam Hussein. We got to go on the air live now. Because the lead woman anchor was in a leather miniskirt and fishnet stockings. And I'm like, how often do you see that at midnight on Fox Sports or Fox News?
Yeah, bro, that's hilarious, actually.
Not very often. Now, Devin, I've had the opportunity to work with you on a few shows here in the Calgary area. I mean, I did the ring announcing for the Bad News Tribute show, in which you actually did have a match with Abdullah the Butcher in a steel cage. Now, you've had quite the rivalry with Abdullah. I was actually doing some research before the interview, And it looks like you started wrestling him in 2006, May 12th, 2006, Stampede Wrestling, Kid Nichols versus Abdullah the Butcher, ended in a bloody no contest. And then we go down a little further, 2007, almost a year later, you teamed with Abdullah and then later faced him in another match. You had a match with him on July 13th of 2007 that ended in a no contest in Oshawa, Ontario. Another match on August 9th for Primetime Wrestling where you ended in a double DQ. Also August 21st in a bloody no disqualification match. So you have had quite the rivalry with Abdullah the Butcher. Now
there's a lot. There's been nine matches. I think that we've wrestled each other over the course from about 2006 to 2008. The last one being in early 2009, which was actually his Canadian retirement match. And it actually ended up being, you know what I find interesting in this whole situation? I don't know if you guys have read interviews about Abdullah in the past, but remember he was always saying he was never going to retire. He would die in the ring.
Oh, yeah,
I've
heard that.
As my video came out, he's never wrestled again. Have you found that interesting?
That is a little interesting. Well, you know,
he finally called him out, and he's decided to hold back a bit. But yeah, I had quite a feud with him, and it's interesting because my last negative blood test was in December 2005, the first time that I came back from wrestling in Puerto Rico because I was just got a full physical when I came back, and I was negative in December 2005. I start wrestling him in 2006 to 2009, then I have another blood test, and magically I had hepatitis C.
Now, and you had the blood test through the WWE, right? You had actually went to the tryout camp and actually you were going to get signed to a contract.
Well, yeah, I had a blood test at WWE, but just on pure coincidence, I had a random physical, everyone has physicals every year. And my family doctor noticed that my liver enzymes were really highly elevated. So he sent me to a liver specialist. And my appointment with the liver specialist was in late May. My WWE tryout was in early May. And June 5th is when I was actually signed by WWE. But I got the results back from my liver specialist on June 23rd. 2009 that I had Hep C, and then WWE did their own medical on me in August of 2009. And what's interesting is when I did that medical with WWE, the doctors at that time told me that the Hep C shouldn't be an issue because of their no blood policy. So it really doesn't make much sense why they didn't take me if they stop matches if blood occurs. Because I am cleared to wrestle in grappling tournaments. I am cleared to wrestle in amateur wrestling tournaments. And those are real sports where you would think the risk of getting cut open would be a little bit greater than a choreographed sport like pro wrestling. So,
but it does happen.
It does happen, but in WWE now, they do stop matches if there's blood, just like they do in amateur wrestling, which is one of the reasons why I'm cleared to amateur wrestle. So their excuse for not hiring me is probably not the best one. Since it's against human rights to discriminate against an athlete based on HIV or Hep C status. But that's going to be another story that might come out in the next little while.
Now, as far as your health goes...
Not to mention they hired Bob Orton knowing he had Hep C. And not only did they hire Bob Orton, but they knew he had Hep C. And they told him to bleed in a cage match with his son and The Undertaker. And his son was also getting juice in that match. And then when The Undertaker found out through one of the WWE doctors that had tested Orton for Hep C, that Bob Orton had Hep C, Undertaker throws fit and Orton ends up getting fired, even though he's just doing what he's told.
Wow.
So the WWE's... Hep C policy is a little weird, to say the least. I mean, there's been rumors that Teddy Long has hepatitis C. There's a lot of guys that in the wrestling business that have hepatitis C. But the reason is, everyone always tells me, why won't more people come out? Well, I'm one of the few people that actually stopped participating in blood matches when I found out I had hepatitis C. So no one can come back and sue me.
Right.
Whereas, say, like, I'm not saying Hulk Hogan has it, but say Hulk Hogan came out and said he had hepatitis C, he would be opening himself up to tons of lawsuits. And if you're a guy doing indie shows or possibly wanting to get back in one of the big companies, you wouldn't necessarily want to come out and say you have hepatitis C. I mean,
well, I mean,
my bookings, because I'm a pretty good wrestler, but to someone that's maybe an older wrestler, I think Honky Tonk Man says it best in Don't Bleed on Me Part 2. He says, if he had hepatitis C and it affected feeding his family, he might not say anything.
True that.
But again, Honky Tonk Man's not going around sharing blades with anybody.
True, but I mean, in the grand scheme of things, you talk about it yourself, how you went to WWE training camp. They found out through their own doctors. You know, you say don't tell anybody, but isn't it going to come out anyway when you get tested before an event?
It is. Now that, like, WWE has a thing where they do pre-contract testing. That was only just started fairly recently. TNA doesn't. I think they randomly test people as they're going. But, I mean, when right. TNA was interested in me, it's pretty easy to find out I have to, like, I don't hide the fact.
Well, you've been very open and vocal about it, but not every wrestler has. That kind of bothers me, thinking that TNA is not doing their part to try to, you know,
well, yeah, you know, you're looking at things. Rumors that, the weird thing is there was all these rumors against Nigel McGuinness. Well, if he doesn't have it, why don't you just come out and say he doesn't have it? But you've never heard anyone from his camp actually say that he doesn't have it. I've heard that Lacey Von Erich was let go because of hepatitis C. Sean Waltman was, but Sean Waltman's been vocal about it. So I don't know. It's a very controversial issue in the wrestling business. Like, the way I look at things, if a guy like Billy Graham, who's not even known for bleeding that much, he was bleeding a lot, but he was not known like Abdullah for having double blood matches every time he wrestles. And guys like Bob Orton have it. You wonder how many other people have it. Freddie Blassie had hepatitis. Terry Funk hasn't mentioned what kind of hepatitis he has, but he has mentioned in interviews that he had hepatitis at one point.
So,
I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on, and there's no testing in any of these minor leagues. So you don't know who has it, and it's really scary. And I hope out of this case, we can just abolish double blood matches forever in wrestling. Yes, they look cool to fans and stuff, but, I mean, I don't make any money at wrestling. I do wrestling for fun, and I caught this. For no reason, and it's a sad situation, because not only did I lose my contract, but I have a serious health problem now. I already went through one treatment, it didn't work, and the treatment was horrible. It was similar to chemotherapy. I had horrible side effects, and right now, until a new treatment is approved in Canada, there's nothing for me, and my liver values are continuing to go up, which is not good.
So, and explain to me, I've never had hepatitis nor hepatitis C, so I'm not sure what it does to the body. What does it do to you, and how do you have to, how does it affect you on your day-to-day process?
It does not affect me. Like, I'm still a great athlete. I can still do everything in my normal life now, but it's basically a disease that attacks the liver, and it's already attacked my liver. My liver is enlarged. The enzyme levels are higher. My spleen is enlarged, and eventually it can lead to liver cirrhosis and liver cancer,
right?
And eventually death, because it'll just keep attacking at your liver. Now, some people can have hepatitis C and just carry it, and by some miracle, it will never actually affect them. Others, like me, unfortunately, it started affecting me right away. But for now, it's not an issue, but in another, let's say, 6 years, it's going to start to become more of an issue. And another, if it's not out of me, like my doctors say, they're hoping that this new treatment will come along in the next couple of years, because the longer we wait, the more damage it could possibly do. But like for me, I can't drink because like alcohol affects your liver. So like a simple thing like having a beer, I can't do. I obviously can't believe anything, so yeah. I have to be very careful. I don't know. It's not a fun situation.
No, not at all.
The toughest part of me so far is I wanted to be a wrestler all my life. There's nothing else I ever wanted to do, and I worked very hard at it, and I finally achieved the dream, and then I lost it because of the hepatitis C. That's been the hardest part for me so far, but it's also scary thinking, what are the future health effects going to be for me? And what? The treatment was horrible. I mean, I lost 25 pounds on the treatment.
Oh, wow.
I had to walk around, and people see me as a big guy normally, and they look at me, oh, what happened? Did you stop working out? You're all pale. What's wrong with you? And it's like, I didn't want to go into the whole story, but it was horrible. Like, the treatment gives you severe anxiety and depression, and it was awful. I had to go start seeing a psychiatrist while I was on treatment to deal with that. You imagine, like, going on a treatment where you get depression is bad enough, but after just finding out you've lost your WWE contract, having to go on that, then you see your friends wrestling in WWE and people you know, when you're thinking to yourself, wow, I should be in there with them, but you're not.
From a law standpoint, do you know of any other cases where somebody has gotten Hep C from somebody else, sued them, and won?
This will be a precedent case. Like, this will be the first case ever where someone's actually filed a lawsuit against somebody for this.
Because it's a non-sexual thing, so it's not like there was consent, non-consent. No. You know, you guys were doing a job.
Wrestling or hepatitis C is a blood-to-blood disease. It can only be passed during sex if blood is involved. So I would have to be bleeding, or you'd have to be like have some kind of cut on yourself, and maybe having sex with a girl.
Very, 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 very unlikely.
Yeah, it's highly unlikely. Like married couples where one of the partners has Hep C, they're not recommended by doctors to use condoms, and it's not passed easily. It's a blood-to-blood disease. People catch it from sharing razor blades, like what happened with me, sharing needles, getting a blood transfusion, I believe, before 1990, before they started testing for hepatitis C. Some people received Hep C in their blood transfusions. So hepatitis A and B can be passed through sex and saliva and stuff, but hepatitis C is very hard to pass. And even if, according to my doctor, like, if I'm just having a double blood match in the ring with someone and we're both bleeding, there is a chance I could pass it to someone or they could pass it to me. But even then, I'd have to be bleeding almost directly into their cut. And in this case, if you look at a cut, when you get cut, blood is flowing outwards.
Not
so even then, it's kind of hard to get to catch it. But what happened, why I believe I caught it, is because he actually used a razor blade that was taped to his finger, jammed it in himself, and then he took the same razor blade and stuck it into me, which basically takes his blood and puts it directly into my bloodstream. And no one has ever done that to me in a match before. It's completely uncalled for. And it's disgusting that he does stuff like this. Like, I realize he's old. He's been wrestling for 5 decades. I mean, back in the older days, even up until like the 90s, people did share blades. But ever since AIDS and hepatitis and all these things started to come out, no one in their right mind would agree to share a razor blade. So that he's still doing stuff like this is ridiculous. And I know he gets very defensive and says, oh, well, they're just coming after me, blah, 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 blah. But, I mean, I started asking him nicely. My lawyers have been asking him for over a year now to just send us his blood tests. That's all we've asked for. He has not done it. I mean, he could make this all go away very easily by just sending us his negative blood tests.
Absolutely.
But he hasn't done it. I mean, that's the annoying part of all this. He makes it seem like I'm the bad guy and I'm just going after him. I mean, have I really even known as a blood wrestler? I'm known as like an amateur wrestler, like a hard-hitting wrestler. All the double blood matches that I've been involved with have included Abdullah.
Right.
Now, so, I mean, I've had single blood matches, yes. But no one ever cut me other than him. No one certainly ever cut me after jamming themselves with the same blade other than him. So I think I have very good reason to ask him to provide his blood test, And the other thing is, him and I were actually fairly good friends. When I got signed by WWE, he actually screamed. He was so happy for me. So as a friend, you should show me his blood work.
I agree.
Yeah, no doubt.
I agree. I mean, you know, and the only thing I've heard from Abdullah the Butcher is that you've had other matches where you've bled with other guys. But, I mean, watching the documentary, Don't Bleed on Me, you know, you do see the scene where he pokes himself and then pokes you with the razor blade. You guys are both bleeding. So I think you've got a pretty good case against him. And, you know, any of the other guys that you've been in the ring with that have bled, have they offered any blood tests or anything?
No, because I haven't had double blood matches.
Right.
There was the tag team match you speak about in PWA. I wasn't one of the bleeders in that match. But even there, no one's come up to me or anything. No one said anything. It's, if Abdullah can prove that he doesn't have it, I mean, I'll leave him alone and I'll look for other options. But there's no other person that is more likely to have given it to me than Abdullah. I mean, this guy had double blood matches every night of his career, and he cut me with a razor blade. I mean,
it boils down to this: from a law and an attorney's courtroom standpoint, just breaking it down for the listening audience, you need to prove that all of your double blood matches in your career have happened against this guy, and you also need a blood sample from him proving that he has said disease. With those two things in your hand, it's pretty much an open shut case.
I don't even need to prove it. It's not a criminal case. It's a civil case. First of all, he assaulted me. He's being charged with assault no matter what. You can't get around that. He's telling people in the media he never cut me. That tells you something about Abdullah the Butcher.
You got video proof.
I know it, but he's telling people not only does he not have an FC, but he cut me.
Well, that's usually he's a liar.
Cut me. Exactly. And then we just have to prove that he has hepatitis C. Then they can go into his medical records and see how long he's known he's had it for. But all we have to prove in a civil case, is it likely that he transmitted hepatitis C to me from cutting me with the same blade he used on himself during that match? That's all we have to prove. No other matches matter. It's just that. So that's what it's going to come down to. And he's going to have a very hard time in court giving excuses why he doesn't want to have to show us his blood work.
Yeah, because when he goes to court, I mean, your attorneys are going to subpoena his blood work. By the time you get to a court date, you'll get your results of his blood test because he'll have to submit those.
Exactly. So we'll get to the bottom of this. I mean, some people are against me. A lot of people say, well, why haven't other people come out about this? Well, for one thing, I have video evidence. How many other people have video evidence of such a thing? I mean, lots of people have accused Abdullah of cutting them without his permission. Without the permission, but how many people have evidence, and how many people like me have the legends to back me up?
True that.
And another thing that's very interesting, how many people in WWE have stood up for Abdullah out of all this? Now, I haven't even been in WWE, and I have WWE legends backing up my story. So who's telling the truth here?
Right.
Well, like I said, until he supplies a blood test with his blood work, then, you know, I mean, really, it's your word against his. But at the same time, this has been going on for about a little over a year, trying to get the blood tests. So why is he trying to hide something if there's nothing to hide?
Since last August, my lawyer started sending him letters asking for the blood work. He ignored all the letters. Then she finally started calling him. I started off with an American lawyer. Then she finally called him, and he agreed to meet with her. When he met with her, he said, oh, it's all bullshit. He never cut me. He actually said he'd never cut anyone in any match ever. And he said he'd be happy to provide the blood tests. 2 weeks passed. He never sent her the blood work. She sent more letters asking for the blood work. Nothing. More calls. No response. He never sent it. Then there was kind of a stalemate because I was looking for other lawyers. It was going to cost me. A lot of people recommended that I go with a Canadian lawyer since I found out I had Hep C in Canada and the trial should actually take place in Canada. So as I was looking for a Canadian lawyer, nothing was really happening. And then I found out he was going to the Hall of Fame, and I was furious when I found this out, because when my contract didn't go through, I explained to WWE how I thought I caught hepatitis C. And then a little while after my contract didn't go through, there was like a house show in Ottawa, and Steve Kern and Ricky Steamboat were in the back, and they hadn't heard why I hadn't been signed yet, but Steve Kern was at the camp, and I explained to them the whole story. And both Kern and Steamboat felt bad for me, and Steamboat said, oh, I can't believe he's still cutting people in this day and age. So when I found out he was being inducted to the WWE Hall of Fame, I'm like, what the hell? After you found out what he did to me, like, these are my accusations and you know of them and you're still going to put it in? I mean, that's why I decided to come out with the whole Don't Bleed on Me video, because my goal from that point on was to try and make him not be in the Hall of Fame. Because I knew how important it was to Abdullah,
right,
to get in the Hall of Fame.
Your story was your story out before the Hall of Fame? Because I remember when they announced him on the screen that night of going in the Hall of Fame, the first thing I thought was, didn't he give somebody Hep C?
Yeah. Hulk Hogan even tweeted on it. Hulk Hogan watched my video. He tweeted, don't bleed on me. Crazy video. You got to see it. Then he sent out another tweet. I wonder if Vince is still going to put Abdullah in the Hall of Fame. Then he sent out another tweet. Abdullah cut me without my permission in a match before, too.
The problem is Hogan also sent out another tweet. Look at me on the crapper.
Oh, I know. Hogan's credibility is one thing. But the whole point is Hogan questioned if Vince would still put him in.
Yeah. I did too. I thought with the video and everything that it was just too incriminating that Vince would never do it, and he did it anyway.
And then people say, well, he must not have it if WWE put him in Hall of Fame. Well, Bob Orton's in the Hall of Fame. Road Warrior Hawk had it. He's in the Hall of Fame. Billy Graham has Hep C. He's in the Hall of Fame. Freddie Blassie had it. He's in the Hall of Fame. I mean, whether he has it or not isn't going to affect WWE. They're just going to try it. They've ignored it pretty much up to this point.
Right.
Which I just find it insulting because they knew they really liked me. Pat Patterson told me I was the best in the camp. You guys were imitating Dusty Rhodes. One of the promos I did in the camp, actually, Dusty Rhodes was in charge of promos, and I cut a promo on Dusty. He actually came out of the booth and told everyone in the camp, guys, that's how you do a promo.
Nice.
So it's like they liked me so much and they thought it was so good, but they'd rather put this guy in the Hall of Fame who really. Let's look at Abdullah's talent for a second. He doesn't have the body. He can't talk. He sure as hell can't wrestle. All his main talent is bleeding and making other people bleed. So they put him in the Hall of Fame. And me, they just like throw him in the garbage. Okay, he has Hep C. The hell with him.
It's sad. And,
like, it's all I've worked for. Ever. I never wanted to be a hockey player. Never wanted to be a football player. The only other sports I played, like one of the main sports I was good at was wrestling. I got into MMA, but all of this stuff I did to make myself a better pro wrestler. I mean, I promoted at one point, I got $100,000 in debt from the shows I promoted, but I've climbed back out of it, and now I'm putting on successful shows. I just got a TV deal from my company to air in 9 towns. I mean, I don't think there's too many people who have actually tried harder to get in WWE than me. I mean, I've wrestled in Europe, Puerto Rico. I was making no money. I mean, I turned down amateur wrestling scholarships out of high school to go into pro wrestling. I mean, I've done a lot, and it just makes me mad that WWE couldn't care less.
You brought up MMA. What is the UFC mixed martial arts rule on hepatitis C?
You cannot compete in MMA. I can compete in grappling tournaments and amateur wrestling tournaments, but I can't compete in Ultimate Fighting.
So that should tell the world, if MMA excludes hepatitis C and the WWE excludes hepatitis C, and we've already heard what it does to you physically, to your liver and everything, this is as bad or the equivalent to me of somebody walking up to a person in a dark alley and shooting him in the back.
Oh, it is. And some people have made the comment, well, they put Drew Carey in the Hall of Fame, so if Drew Carey goes in, Abdullah goes in.
Yeah, but has Drew Carey gone around jamming someone with a dirty razor blade?
No, and it needs to be stopped.
I mean, these are big accusations. I've spent a lot of money on this. Everyone just thinks, I don't know if they think the lawyers are free, but there's a lot of people that have been against me. I've spent over $10,000 on this case. You think it was cheap to fly to Arizona to get the interviews with Billy Graham and Honky Tonk Man? I mean, I put a lot of work into this case, and it's because I believe he passed it to me.
Right.
This is not a random thing. I mean, I have liver specialists. We've looked at the ways you can catch it. I don't have tattoos. I don't have piercings. I mean, I've never received a blood transfusion. I've never been donated organs. I mean,
so where are we? Where are we legally right now? You have a lawsuit against this man. Where are we? How far away from a court date are we? Where are we at legally?
Well, we filed the lawsuit, and now we wait to hear his response. I'm not exactly sure how long he has to respond, but I believe he's got a good amount of time.
I got served papers in a civil court just about 8 months ago, and I just went to court for the first time last week.
Well, it's an international case, too, because even though he's a Canadian citizen, he lives in the States, so I think he even has a little bit more time. I mean, this has been a long... a lot of people think I just started this when he's inducted in the Hall of Fame. I've been working on this since last August. I mean, it's been over a year that I've been working on this, and realistically, we're looking 2 or 3 years before it's over. It's a highly stressful situation. It's a lot of money, and I wish he would just clear it up and say, okay, I don't... Obviously, if he didn't have it, he would just clear it up, unless he's just a complete... heartless guy that likes to make me suffer.
Right.
I mean, why wouldn't he just show his blood work? I mean, if someone released a video on me, like, don't bleed on me, I mean, I would have shown my blood work right away if I was clean. I don't know about
so,
me. And a lot of people say, oh, you're defamation. This is a defamation for Abdullah. Well, no. It's not defamation unless he proves that he doesn't have it. If he proved that he didn't have it and I went around saying this stuff about him, yeah, he could charge me with defamation.
Yeah, they'd sue you.
No, I have reason to believe he gave it to me, and I'm telling people. And if he can prove me otherwise, I'll be happy. I won't apologize because he still cut me without my permission. But I'll just say thank you for giving me the blood work. I wouldn't have done it like a year ago.
Yeah.
And I'll be happy to take everything down.
The long and the short of it is, to me, you telling me this to where I don't know you from Adam, and I couldn't pick you out of the lineup. This is the first time we've spoken. But hearing your side of the story and knowing of the story before the phone call, what you're telling me is, you know, all you're asking from this guy is blood work. All right? So you have filed a lawsuit. You have gone through the legal process. You have put out a documentary. You have other celebrity, legendary professional wrestlers backing your play and stepping forward and saying that the same thing has happened to them from this man that you're accusing, Abdullah the Butcher. And if he really didn't have it and he wanted all this to go away, it's as simple as a blood test. But the fact remains, he's avoiding this blood test, tells me and should tell every lawyer and every judge in any country how guilty this guy is.
Plus the fact that he's saying he didn't even cut me.
And you have video proof.
So it just comes down to that. And I mean, before we filed the lawsuit, we asked him. We started sending him letters about this last August. The video came out in March. I mean, he's had plenty of time to provide us blood tests. And I mean, he posted a thing on his Facebook on July 17th calling us all fools and that he had received his blood test results and he's negative. Well, it's like, if you received them, why don't you actually send them to us? You think we're going to believe if you post something on Facebook and say you don't have it? But then he told the Ottawa Citizen just last week that he would be getting his blood test in the next few days to clear this all up. So it's like, wait a minute, did you get your blood test or not? When the CBC reporter called him to do an interview about this, Abdullah the Butcher told her that he hadn't even been served and that he'd never even heard of me. So, I mean, he keeps changing his story to all these reporters. He did an interview with this Puerto Rican newspaper called Noticel right after Don't Bleed on Me came out. He said he was too busy for blood tests. He said if he had hepatitis C, would it be as bad as he is? Well, no, you can't tell by looking at someone if they have hepatitis C or not. I'm 265 pounds. I mean, if you want to go by looks, who has hepatitis C, and you look at Abdullah and you look at me, I doubt many people will say that it's me that has it because I look fairly healthy. You can't tell by looking at someone unless they're in, like, the final stages. Like, you know what? Speaking of superstar Billy Graham, who's dying of hepatitis C, one thing I find very insulting that WWE did, I don't know if you guys read this in The Sun. After Billy Graham found out Abdullah was inducted into the Hall of Fame, he publicly asked to be taken out of the WWE Hall of Fame. Yep. He said it was a sham, and for them to induct a bloodthirsty monster like Abdullah makes it a total sham, and he wants out. Now, yeah, he has reasons to want out. I mean, hepatitis C is a close disease to him. Like, he's dying from it. He already had one liver transplant. I feel if he wants to be out because they're inducting someone who's being accused of passing it around, they should let him out. But they completely have ignored him. And, oh, Billy Graham, he was just a joke, blah, blah, blah. Well, Billy Graham deserves to be in the Hall of Fame way more than Abdullah and almost more than anyone. Jesse Ventura copied Billy Graham. Hulk Hogan copied Billy Graham. Scott Steiner copied Billy Graham. Billy Graham, like, started the whole bodybuilder movement in wrestling. He changed it. He was one of the longest running WWE champions. I mean, and he was one of the first heels that were actually getting cheered by the crowd. So for WWE to just ignore him when he wants to be out because they inducted a guy who's been accused of passing hepatitis C, I find that very insulting. And I hope if I win my court case, the WWE apologizes to Billy Graham.
Well, I think there's a lot of things pending your lawsuit. One, the $6 million. Two, the satisfaction of knowing that you won. Number three, this will show his guilt with the blood work. WWE will have to either make a statement, take a stance, change their policy, or remove him from the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, definitely. They're going to have to do something. Once we have the verdict, they can't just ignore it anymore. I'm surprised they've ignored it as much as they have, because it's been in The Sun all across Canada. It's been in the Ottawa Citizen, which is a major newspaper. The magazine McLean's is doing a story on it. It's been on the local news stations in Ottawa on TV. It's been on the CBC radio, which is across Canada. And I mean, WWE still hasn't put out a statement. Do you think if I was, like, making something up or telling something that wasn't true, that WWE wouldn't have gone after me by now?
True that.
But somebody by this point, with the documentary and the lawsuit and the newspapers and the radio shows such as this one and all the appearances you've made spreading your side of the story, by now I would think if you weren't telling the absolute truth, you would have been sued for defamation or you would have been sued for many other things.
Exactly, but you look at WWE, June 28th, they just released a DVD, Greatest Cage Matches with Abdullah the Butcher on the back. And it's like, okay, if you have a no-blood policy, why are you releasing DVDs about cage matches full of blood with Abdullah the Butcher on the back? Fine, you got a no-blood policy, but I mean, if you're a young wrestler that wants to make it in wrestling, you're going to do what the star wrestlers do.
Well, it's the same thing as a used car lot being a Chevy car lot having a used section in their car lot. They'll still sell Ford vehicles. It's all about the dollar.
Exactly.
At the end of the day, they may have a no blood policy, but they can still make money off of a bloody DVD.
And sell Abdullah's toy, which actually has the blade marks right in its head.
Yeah.
So I mean, this is a toy for kids. I mean, There should be warnings. Okay, Abdullah blading is wrong. There just has to be some message. I'd like to see something from WWE. Fine, you got a no blood ball policy. Why? Oh, and here's something else interesting. If you look at the Net Ledger article on this story, they wrote a great article, And WWE actually had a no-blood policy from 1988 to 1997.
Really?
And they got rid of the no-blood policy when ratings were down. And then they brought it back, and they put the no-blood policy into place the first time specifically because of the dangers of contamination from blood diseases.
Now,
so it's like when business is down, we don't care anymore.
Well, what could you do with your story and as serious as this is and knowing what you know about their policies and affidavits, what can you do when Linda McMahon runs for office?
Well, exactly. All I'm saying is there's something called vicarious liability. And WWE has a potential suit against them, a vicarious liability lawsuit, if they don't do something to fix matters. Because, I mean, they're still promoting Abdullah the Butcher despite these accusations. They're still putting out DVDs with double blood matches. They're still selling his toys. But he's on their website. There's videos of him on their website.
And he's wearing a ring that says WWE Hall of Fame.
Exactly. So, I don't know. WWE, I don't know what they're doing. I honestly don't know. I used to, it was my dream to always be WWE. But some of the stuff they're doing, it just bothers me. I mean, because if you think about it, that incident with Undertaker and Randy Orton and Bob Orton happened in 2006. I mean, if they had just come out at that point and said, okay, a mistake happened, someone with hepatitis C bled in the ring, blood matches are dangerous, we're going to ban them from WWE and put out a warning for other wrestlers not to do them. But they didn't do anything. They covered it up. And my incident happened in 2007. I mean, I could have been saved if they just come clean in and warn people. But they didn't even put their no-blood policy back into place until 2008, exactly when Linda McMahon ran for Senate the first time. So did it have to do with the safety of their wrestlers, or did it have to do with her running for Senate? I don't know. You figure it out.
Same reason they went PG all across the board.
I'd like to have like a one-on-one interview with Johnny Ace, because Johnny Ace is the guy that told Bob Orton to bleed knowing he had hepatitis in that match. Johnny Ace is the one that decided on my contract being rescinded. And Johnny Ace, I was reading an interview with Abdullah. He's the one that actually called Abdullah to tell him he was being inducted in the Hall of Fame.
Wow.
So, I mean, a lot of this blood stuff has to do with Johnny Ace.
Another thing about Johnny Ace, he's also the guy that told Sid Vicious to jump off the top rope in WCW when he broke his leg.
There's a lot of stuff about Johnny Ace that I question. I mean, and I don't know if Vince McMahon has Vince McMahon even seen Don't Bleed on Me? I don't know. Has Johnny Ace? Oh, I'm sure he has. I'm sure he's at least heard of it.
And to those that are listening to this interview now, if you haven't had an opportunity to check out Don't Bleed on Me, go to YouTube and find the documentary. It's definitely worth a watch. A lot of informative things, and you get to hear from legends like Billy Graham and the Honky Tonk Man, and of course Devin tells his story as well.
I believe it's even on our Wrestling News Live Facebook page.
I think we do have it there. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know that.
You should post the newest video, Abdullah the Butcher on Blood Diseases, where Abdullah talks about that it's not a disease because he puts alcohol on his cut and drinks wine after his matches. He actually says that. And by the way, he says that right after he says he doesn't like doing barbed wire matches because the risk of disease is dangerous. You know why the risk of disease is dangerous in a barbed wire match? You're getting thrown into the barbed wire, then your opponent's getting thrown into it, so the blood on the barbed wire is going into both of you, which is pretty much the same thing that he did to me with his blade.
Nope.
So, I mean, this guy, he needs to get his story straight.
Well, I think you got an open shut case here with him. Even with him just opening his mouth, you got an open shut case. And the fact that he won't supply the blood sample tells you everything you need to know.
True that.
Hopefully I can get this put behind me. I mean, the main thing I want out of this is to just get treated, get this stupid disease out of my system, and move on with my life and put this nightmare behind me.
Well, I'd like to see you stay in wrestling in some shape, form, or fashion, but number one on my list is getting you cured and getting you back to being healthy again.
No doubt.
Yes, thank you. I'll always have, I love wrestling, and I mean, I have a lot of things coming up. As I said, Great North Wrestling, it's got its own TV show in Ontario. We're releasing a movie sometime in 2012 about the events that I put on and the stars that I work with. And it's actually going to be a great movie. I came up with the idea of doing the movie after I saw the movie The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke. I hated the movie.
Right. Yeah, a lot of people did.
One of the worst movies ever. Because they took a story of a guy like me, an indie wrestler, like driving around for nothing. And then they took... Mickey Rourke reminds me of a guy like the Honky Tonk Man, the character he plays. Like... These old WWE wrestlers, they're actually flown into the town. They're not driving around in their old car. They usually get half their money up front. And, I mean, they're not going out and putting on hardcore matches. They go and put on the laziest match ever. And then they go to the pack. But most of these guys do pretty well for themselves. I don't like how they portray Mickey Rourke as like a down-and-out guy. Most ex-wrestlers are like that because I work with those guys. And, I mean, a lot of these old wrestlers... Are my friends now.
Right.
And anyways, in my movie, I'm going to show how it really is. And my movie is real. It's way more controversial than The Wrestler. The action in it is way more. There's bar fights. There's absolute craziness.
I recommend that JJ and I get a part as announcers at an event somewhere in your movie.
Well, it's a possibility. We're waiting to see what happens in the next little bit with this lawsuit before we decide on an ending. Because, like, right now we have tons of footage. We've been taking footage for 3 years. We have guys like Terry Funk in the movie, Scott Steiner, Vampiro, Honky Tonk Man, Lanny, Kevin Nash is even in the movie.
See, there's going to be a spot in the movie where some wrestler has to do an interview with a radio show, and I think we've got that covered.
Well, maybe we should have taped this.
There you go.
Yeah, well, it's a possibility. But yeah, going back to it, I'm just telling this because I'm still trying to... I can't be in WWE, but I'm trying to find other things to do that will still...
Scratch that
give
itch.
Me some kind of a job in wrestling. I mean, you'll never make money in indie wrestling. A lot of people said, like, according to the lawsuit, my career's over, but I'm still wrestling. Well, yeah, my career's over. I can't make money at wrestling. I can't be in WWE or TNA.
Right.
I can still participate in wrestling events, but I'm making nothing. I mean, I'm just doing it for the fun of it, and that's fine.
Right.
But
when do you look forward to going to court?
I think what happens in this process is Abdullah and his lawyers have to respond, and then a court date is set.
Right.
I'm not too familiar with the whole legal action, but and if they don't respond, like, he has to respond basically.
What'll happen is he'll get served with papers, and then they'll have a day where you and your attorney and him and his attorney will get together, and before the judge you will go over what they call a date sheet, where you'll say, okay, we're gonna do this at this time, this at this time, this at this time, this at this time, and then the judge will pencil in the court date and you'll go from there.
I guess it is going to, as I said, I'm not a legal expert. I have a very good attorney, Ronald Kaza from Heenan Blakey, which is the largest law firm in Canada. My lawyer is a partner in the law firm. That's one good thing that's come out of this. He read about the story, and he researched it, and he's taken on this case, and I couldn't ask for a better lawyer. And this lawyer is not going to back down like some of my other lawyers have. So.
Good.
So it's all positive. The legal, it's in my lawyer's hands now. I'll still spread the word. I'm very passionate about blood and wrestling. I don't want what happened to me to happen to anyone else. And I just want the message to be heard. If two guys are on an indie show and the promoter asks them to bleed for little or no money, if there's one thing you can take out of this interview, if you're a wrestler listening, don't do it. Because you don't know what the other person has.
That's right. You don't know where they've been.
They're not going to tell you.
That's true. Well, Devin, I do want to say I thank you for coming aboard and doing the interview. Keep us up to date on what's going on. Anything you need to promote, you want to talk about, feel free to hit us up. You're always welcome on this program.
Thanks. And the next big event that I'm putting on, Macho Man Randy Savage official memorial show, September 3rd in Hawkesbury, Ontario, which is halfway between Ottawa and Montreal.
And when is that going on?
September 3rd. And it's the only official Macho Man Randy Savage memorial show.
Okay.
I'm pretty good friends with his brother, Lanny. And Lanny is letting me put on this event. The last time we were in Hawkesbury, we had 1,200 people at the event. And I put on there, the arena holds 2,500. So I think we're going to pack the place for this event. And Greg Valentine's going to be there, Lanny Poffo, Jay Lethal, me, of course. A lot of great wrestlers are going to be on the card. And I'm looking forward to it because Macho Man was probably one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. Look at a guy that had it all, like the look, the interview, the wrestling ability, and it was him. He was one of my heroes, so it's a huge honor for me to be able to present his official tribute show, and I know Lanny knows how much I look up to Macho Man and how Macho Man was a hero of mine, and it's going to be a very special night for me.
Right. Well, I tell you what, Devin, if you're looking for a ring announcer, man, I'm your guy. I'll be glad to do it.
Well, if we ever come back, I'm not sure if I could afford to fly red for that one. But if we ever come back to Alberta in the future, maybe. But you did do a good job at Bad News Island, so.
Well, thank you, man.
Positive feedback.
Well, I appreciate it, man. But anyway, like I said, anything you need, let us know. We'll be glad to help you out.
All right. Thanks a lot. I'll talk to you later.
All right,
glad
Devin.
Everything's going well. Try to harmony for me.
I sure will, man. Thanks.
Later, man.
This is Hannibal, and you're listening to Wrestling News Live on the SNS Radio.
Hey guys, it's Mr. Money on the Mic, JJ, all caps Sexay of the SNS Radio Network. If you're looking for the latest news in professional wrestling and of course some of the best columns on the World Wide Web today, visit headlocks2headlines.com. That's headlocks, the number two, headlines.com. It's the official news site of the SNS Radio Network. You should make it your official news site as well. Once again, www.headlocks2headlines.com.
Oh, take it right out into space. Oh, you'll calm the nerves down. What could go wrong? Ugh. That is the last time I am trusting a Ferengi. Oh, the gold press. Ah! Would you shut up already? I didn't do anything wrong to you. He's right over there. Ugh. Hey, folks, I apologize. I'm being chased over by the Empire of all people. I mean, I didn't do anything wrong. I mean, I just said that the freaking J.J. Abrams is an idiot and the Fletcher dish is... Ugh. But... I mean, the Millennium Falcon is right over there. Go after them. They did something wrong to you. Ugh. But I do have a few seconds to remind you guys to check out the Elite Force Podcast, located over at www.eliteforcepodcast.com, also over at www.snsradionetwork.com and chrisjonesgaming.net. Each and every week, the Elite Force Podcast covers some of the top news going on in the world of science fiction and also pays tribute to some of the greats that have paved the way to making science fiction one of the great genres of entertainment. So check out the Elite Force Podcast every Wednesday and Sundays with your hosts William Walkie Walker, Philip Mindwipe Morris, and Chuck W. over at EliteForcePodcast.com, the SNS Radio Network, www.snsradionetwork.com, and ChrisJonesGaming.net. Now, before I get blown up, I gotta go evade these Empire people. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, a big giant asteroid with a hole in it. Oh, I gotta go fly into it. I mean, what are the chances that a big worm could be in there? Oh, what could go wrong?
Not getting enough TNA wrestling? It's time to join TNAOnDemand.com, the place to access over 300 hours of classic TNA programming, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. TNAOnDemand.com is the ultimate resource for pay-per-views and exclusive TNA programming. Log on to gain instant access to every TNA DVD ever released. Go to TNAOnDemand.com to get started right now.
To me, wrestling matters because, over the last 13 years of my life, sacrificed a lot in my life, my personal life, to get to where I'm at today. Wrestling is not just a job. It's not just a hobby. It's a passion. It's something that I live for. Wrestling really is my life.
Don't miss Impact Wrestling, Thursdays at 9 on Spike.
Impact Wrestling. Wrestling matters. Again.
It's time.
It's time to stop.
The name calling.
The hurt.
The bullying.
Because of race, creed,
color,
sexual orientation.
It's time to treat everyone like you want to be treated.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time to eliminate.
Eliminate.
Eliminate the hate.
Eliminate the hate.
Eliminate the hate.
Hey, this is Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle from TNA, and you're listening to Wrestling News Live on the SNS Radio Network. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
All right, guys, we're back right here on Wrestling News Live. Of course, I am Mr. Money on the Mic, JJ All Caps Sexy. And I'm joined, of course, by my my partner in crime, my co-host, the outlaw of the IWC, the Trey Dog.
If we can be serious for a minute.
Okay, I'm sorry. It's not Trey. It's Lance Storm.
That was a good interview. Good job.
Thank you, sir. All the legal jargon that you thrown out. Why aren't you a lawyer? Seriously. Oh, wait. You're on the other side of the coin. You're the one that's going through the cases. That explains everything, Trey.
Yeah. No, it's funny. My mom, bless her heart, when she was alive, she wouldn't watch crime dramas or, anything to do with law with me because I would always, like Law and Order, I'd figure it out before the end of the show and it'd piss her off.
Nice.
And I just, my dad's the same way. I don't know how many times my dad was in business for himself that people would sue him over something job related and he'd go in and whip their ass in court every time and he'd represent himself, And I guess I got that from my dad.
Well, as you know, we brought you guys back to the Kurt Angle liner, and the question of the night as we started the show off was how many times has Kurt Angle become the world heavyweight champion? Ms. Destiny says she has the answer. 5-time TNA heavyweight champion.
All right.
1-time IWGP champion. 1-time Power Pro Wrestling heavyweight champion.
That's 7.
1-time WCW heavyweight champion. one-time World Heavyweight Champion, and 4 WWE Heavyweight Championships. So the tally is at 13.
Okay.
So he is a 13-time world champ,
yes,
which means he's 3 away from tying Ric Flair to be a 16-time world champion.
I don't know how long his extension with TNA is that he just signed.
Isn't he there for another year?
At least. But you got to think he's got enough left in him to go back to WWE and maybe win one more there, hopefully.
Well, the way he talks, he wants to end his career in TNA, which I think is a mistake. But, you know, that's the fan in me who wants the DVD. Right. You know, I want a Kurt Angle DVD that's not the ultimate self-destruction of Kurt Angle. He was the most unprofessional guy I ever stepped in the ring with. You know, kind of like the self-destruction of the Ultimate Warrior where they take clips, you know.
Right.
And they're all talking about the Warrior, but they change it to where they're talking about, you know, Kurt Angle, Steve Lombardi. You know, the Brooklyn Brawler could talk about
Johnny Ace was down there.
Yeah, there you go, you know.
I don't know why the guy didn't stay in the company when he tried to give him all the money in the world.
Oh, the official tally is 13. I thought it was 14, but I guess it's 13.
I could have swore it was 14 myself, but hey.
So, let's go ahead and break down what happened tonight on Raw. Go ahead. Finish it up.
In a world where Raw was not that good, we now give you John Cena, CM Punk, and the Triple H love triangle known as WWE Raw.
Yeah, we watched Raw show. Kind of sucked.
And now starring James Vanderbeek. Monday Night Raw. Time to talk a little wrestling. Oh, wait. We're talking Monday Night Raw. I guess that means it's time to talk entertainment. Yeah.
And welcome back to Entertainment Tonight. Mary Hart's out, so we're going to take her place.
Her legs are still here, though. They're under the desk with me.
So we start Monday Night Raw off tonight, guys, with Triple H in the ring. Says it's going to be one of the most historic nights in the company at SummerSlam when WWE Champion John Cena faces WWE Champion CM Punk. He says a lot's changed. They went from having no champion and Vince being in charge to having two champions and him now in charge. He says that there will be an undisputed champion on Sunday. And to make sure that this will happen, he has put someone in charge who won't be pushed around. And, well, ladies and gentlemen, that man is himself, Triple H. So he is now the special guest referee in the undisputed World Heavyweight Championship match at SummerSlam.
Two things. One, I understand if this was real, I would understand why Trips would want to be involved. I mean, it's his mess to clean up. And again, like he said in the promo, quite frankly, I'm the only guy I can trust. I would understand that. Two, you know, I was hoping that this feud wouldn't become, let's get Triple H over, and that's what it's becoming. He doesn't need to be in that match. To me, him in that match, as big a fan as I am of the Tripster, I think he takes away from the match. I think it needed to be a no gimmick, no holes barred, just two men go out there, one man leave, Thunderdome type match.
Two men enter, one man leave.
Master Blaster. But I mean, that's the way it should have been. Two men go in, one man comes out with the belt. They debut the new belt, give that person the new title. Gold is very easy to cash in right now and get some good money for so they can melt those other crappy belts down and then they'd all be happy.
Well, you know, and
they could put them belts in one of those envelopes and send it to these gold people that are on TV all the time.
There you go. Or maybe
gold. You just send us your address. We'll send you an envelope to put the gold in, and then we'll send you back your money.
Or maybe, you know, they can do a marketing plan. If you act now, you'll get a piece of both WWE championships held by both, respectively, John Cena and CM Punk. That's right. We'll actually give you a custom-crafted piece with a leather backing.
JJ's this official, just in.
The official authenticity of the WWE championship. And you can have it now for only $15.99.
In breaking news, JJ, we have this message just coming into us now, into our headsets. If you are the first person to order Crap Fest Summer Fresh on pay-per-view live on WWE.com, you get your choice. Which belt do you want? Do you want John Cena's or do you want CM Punk's? It will be yours with a certificate of authenticity sent straight to your house, delivered by Howard Finkel.
Good stuff. My precognitive abilities. I've been watching on Netflix. I've been watching the entire series of The Dead Zone, which, you know, stars one of my favorite actors, Anthony Michael Hall. I was a big fan. I was a big fan of the movie with Christopher Walken, The Dead Zone, and Anthony Michael Hall actually played that same character, and they actually spanned the series for, I guess, about six seasons, and just got finished watching the entire series with the wife. And the reason I bring that up is because he has a power where if he touches you, he can see your past. He can see things that happen in the future, you know, revolving around you. And I feel like right now I'm going to touch my computer screen and I can almost tell you what's going to happen at SummerSlam. Hang on as I touch the computer and the visions are flooding through my head. And I'm not liking what I'm seeing, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not liking what I'm seeing. This is a horrible vision. And my vision is telling me. These images are racking my brain as we speak. And it's painful for me to even talk while I'm thinking about this. But what I see happening with Triple H as the special guest referee is that, unfortunately, John Cena is going to walk away the undisputed champion. Now, why, JJ, why is that going to happen? Because it looks like they're going to insert CM Punk into a feud with the new COO of the WWE. It's going to be an Austin McMahon-style feud. Most of you will remember Stone Cold Steve Austin was an anti-establishment guy. And in a lot of ways, CM Punk reminds me of Stone Cold Steve Austin because he doesn't care about your company. He doesn't care about the values. He's out to do whatever he wants to do. And I honestly feel like the direction that they're going is to insert those two into a feud to kind of resurrect that whole Austin McMahon theme, only with CM Punk and Triple H. And the worst part about it is I don't have a problem with the feud. The problem that I have is that John Cena is going to end up being the undisputed champion. I don't like this direction. But that's what I saw when I touched my computer screen, thanks to Johnny Smith.
And the thing that you know, Punk cuts this great promo at the main event area of the show. And the one thing I was waiting for him to say, and he got close, and he danced around it. The one thing I wanted him to say was, you know, you've got this match, Cena. And when they were talking about Cena being the corporate guy and getting everything handed to him for free, I wanted Punk to say, I lose this match on Sunday, I go down to mid-card insecurity. You know, I'm back fighting guys like Dolph Ziggler and Kofi Kingston. You lose this match, it won't be but 3 or 4 weeks or a pay-per-view in between, and you'll be the number one contender again. You know, and that would have been the perfect way to have put it.
I'm just afraid that that's the direction they're going in. Like I said, I don't have a problem with a Triple H CM Punk feud. I mean, obviously Triple H will get the better of Punk, and then Punk will come back and you know, get vengeance on Triple H, and it'll be a hot feud. But at the expense of putting that belt back on a guy like John Cena, that's what really bothers me about this whole situation.
Let me ask you a question. With all the smoke and mirrors, and now the Triple H, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? All the smoke and mirrors, and now they've got Triple H inserted into that main event. It's another Triple H curveball.
you know, another curveball to the match. And it's so focused on one of those two guys being champion. How cool would it be for Alberto Del Rio to cash that motherfucker in that night right after it's over with and face Rey Mysterio on Monday for the belt?
Well, that's an interesting point.
Because you don't see it coming. You're so focused on champion versus champion. This is the one thing they can do differently than the last time we had champion versus champion, which was what, Michaels and Chico, Razor Ramon.
I think they've had one. Well, yeah, I guess, but that was no. Yeah, that was WrestleMania 10.
Is that the last one we had like that?
I think so. Don't quote me on that, but I think so. The older I get, the more my memory fades. I've forgotten more about professional wrestling than most people know.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, this is the one thing they could do to really separate themselves from anything in history. You know, you got champion versus champion. Now you got the COO of the company, you know, putting his stamp on things. And he even said, you know, on Monday, or on Sunday, rather, how did he put it? Things are going to change forever, this new regime, blah, 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 blah. I look for Sunday to be a night where it's going to be a great pay-per-view, despite all the holes we have in it right now. It'll work its way out to being a great pay-per-view. But I think starting Sunday and Monday, things start to shift, and you really see more of the Triple H stamp on the product than you have before.
You may be right. I'm afraid that Cena's going to walk away the champ, and then the next night on Raw, Rey Mysterio will challenge, and then Rey Mysterio might actually get a win over John Cena, become the champion, and you know then obviously Alberto Del Rio could come in and cash it. That would be another title change. That would be too many title change in the span of what, about a month? That would be ridiculous. So the only way I see this happening is Del Rio probably cashes in at a later date and wins the belt from John Cena. That's the feud that they wanted to go into SummerSlam with. Didn't happen.
They rushed the Punk angle.
Yeah. So, I mean, as much as I hate to say it.
Somebody said in the chat room earlier, it would have been nice to have seen Punk doing odd jobs around Chicago, you know, like cooking a pizza at a pizza place with the belt strapped over his shoulder, you know? Shit like that would have been funny.
Ashley is absolutely correct. I completely forgot about this. 2001, I don't know how I would have forgotten about this because it was a pretty big moment, and Jericho reminds us of it all the time. But they actually had, after WCW was purchased by the WWE, they had the match at Vengeance where Chris Jericho took on The Rock, who was the WCW champion, and then he later on took on Stone Cold Steve Austin, who was the WWE champion, and became the first ever undisputed champion. So,
well,
yeah,
but I'm talking WWE belts that, you know.
Well, but when they purchased the company, they got the belts too, but I see where you're going with that.
So. You know, like we had the Shawn Michaels storyline where he was cooking at that fucking place and he kicked that little girl. You know, little segments, little vignettes of CM Punk, you know, at a Cubs game as an usher, sitting people in their seats with the Cubs jersey on and the belt over his shoulder. They were there. They could have filmed one of those. Wouldn't have taken long at all. You know, have CM Punk with a, you know, deal full of beer and walk around where nobody's looking and dump it all out because he's straight edge. You know, shit like that would have been funny. Carry that shit on for 2 or 3 months. Now, granted, then, of course, the IWC and guys like us would be, well, we know that he's still with the company or they wouldn't be showing his fucking vignettes on TV.
True that.
So I guess there's 6 to 1, half a dozen to the other.
It is what it is, brother. It is what it is. So let's go back to the Raw opener. After that, we have our first match of the night, John Cena taking on Jack Swagger.
Swagger.
Pretty good match. You know,
I
thought Swagger did a good job, had a little bit of offense, but in the end, Swagger is fodder for the attitude adjustment as John Cena goes over via the pinfall. Damn you, John Cena. Beating an American hero like Jack Swagger.
In a world where James Vanderbeek stars
as Dolph Ziggler.
Oh, that's awesome.
And my pug dog plays the role of Vicky Guerrero.
Strangely enough, I could see that happening.
Get this DVD now on WWE Shop, simply titled, Excuse Me.
So next up on Raw, we have a segment where Scott Stanford tries to introduce CM Punk's opponent, who, of course, is Alberto Del Rio. But, of course, Ricardo Rodriguez takes the mic away and says he'll do it himself.
Rio.
Alberto says that Punk is the voice of the cowards, and he ran away in Chicago when Alberto tried cashing in. He says, tonight, everyone will see what would have happened had Punk stayed in the ring and faced him. We also have another backstage segment with Josh Matthews in the locker room with
Alberto Del Rio.
No, he's with R-Truth.
Oh, R-Truth.
He asks why Truth took the advantage on John Morrison. Truth rambles to say why over and over again. And he says that tonight he hates spiders. He gonna get some spiders are gonna get got tonight. And that spider's name is John Morrison.
This motherfucker done lost his goddamn mind.
But I love it, man. I think the Truth character is awesome.
Spiders? What the fuck has that got to do with wrestling?
Well, if it wasn't for the spiders and the ladders, he would have been the champion by now, Trey. Come on, man. Get with the program. The brother's been screwed by spiders and ladders. How can you not see his plight?
So now we got the suntan Superman versus Spider-Man?
God damn, you're turning into Little Jimmy on us right now. The fuck is wrong with you?
Don't call me
he don't know
Jim,
what he's
man.
Talking about. I know he don't know. He don't know. And I'm talking to you, too. He don't know.
Hey, man, who are you talking to?
I ain't talking to nobody. I'm talking to you. The fuck's wrong with you, man? God damn
looking,
it.
You're looking to your right and left, talking to the invisible people who weren't there.
Anyway, back to the fucking Raw recap. He don't know who he's talking to.
See, there you go again. Right there. You're talking to somebody behind me. You're like, you look over your shoulder talking.
We're supposed to have a match with The Miz taking on Rey Mysterio. Unfortunately, it doesn't happen as Miz attacks Rey from behind and just beats the living shit out of him on the top of the ramp, throws him into the metal WWE logo on the stage. And Miz just killing him, man. Just slams his head off it repeatedly. And then, of course, he's restrained by a bunch of referees. So, basically, this match ends up in a no contest. We have Michael Cole start to interview The Miz. And then we have a referee run down to ringside and say that due to what happened to Rey Mysterio, Triple H has basically found him another opponent. And it ends up being Kofi Kingston to his big pyro. SOS.
We be jamming.
For once, his theme song made some sense. SOS.
That's Jamaican as I get right there.
Well, he's not Jamaican. He's South African.
Oh, whatever he is.
He's from Ghana. He's
going to be Ghana from the WWE before too long, probably.
Oh, I don't think Kofi's going anywhere. He's a popular guy. He'll never be world champion, but he's a popular dude. Good mid-card guy. So
He would be on the good guys team if they were still a cartoon.
Probably so. So we have Miz versus Kofi Kingston. Pretty good match, but in the end, Miz gets the skull-crushing finale and gets the win over Kofi
That's
Kingston.
That's the skull-crushing finale.
Not to be confused with the skull-fucking finale. Yes, I got
That's
that.
That's Cody Rhodes.
He don't know. He don't know what he's talking about, y'all. He don't know.
Hey, stop doing that. Talk to me. Talk
so
to the listener.
Then we have Josh Matthews wanting to know what CM Punk thinks about Triple H making himself the special guest referee. And, of course, Punk says that beating Cena for the title is good for business. He mentions Triple H doing things for business, and he's got a bigger ego than Vince McMahon. He then changes his attention to one Alberto Del Rio.
Alberto Del Rio.
He says Alberto called him a coward, but he's about to go to the ring and prove him wrong.
Hey, watch your tone. It's the wrong tone. You talk to my guy like that again, I'll stab you in the eye with an ice pick.
So let's see. Next up, we have Alberto Del Rio versus CM Punk. So both the co-WWE champions were in action tonight. In the end, we see Punk roundhouse kick Alberto in the head, hits him with the go to sleep, and gets the pinfall victory. So CM Punk advances.
Roundhouse kick.
Pretty much. Believe it or not, after this, we actually had a Divas match.
Yay. And Beth's boobs look good tonight.
I got to say, I was
God.
I was so impressed with this match because Beth looked dominant. It wasn't one of
CM
those, you
Punk's,
know.
I bet CM Punk's putting his pipe bomb between those things at least once a night.
I'm telling you, man, I like the fact that it wasn't, you know, cookie cutter diva shit. Beth went out there and beat the shit out of Eve.
And then took the microphone and cut a promo.
So I'm liking where this is going. Usually I don't grate the.
Boobies
I don't,
look good.
They did. Usually I don't grate, you know, the or grade the Divas matches highly, but that one, very entertaining.
And then she cuts a promo saying, no more this, no more that. But she made sure and mentioned no more splits, which pissed Melina off. So she had to do some tweeting. And talk about how, you know, bitch can't say that to my face. Typical. And I'm flattered that when people think of something like the splits, they think of me because no diva will be ever able to do that again.
What? So no diva
if
ever.
If you didn't have every wrestler, including John Morrison, putting you in the splits position, you probably wouldn't be able to do them on standby anyway.
Well, rumor has it Kelly Kelly can do the splits pretty good.
On my face.
Next up, we have Dolph Ziggler, who's accompanied by, of course,
Everybody listen. This is the part of the show where we're talking about the man.
It wasn't actually Dolph Ziggler. It was James Vanderbeek.
No, and Trey's Pugdog.
So James Vanderbeek and Trey's Pugdog took on Alex Riley. Unfortunately,
My Pugdog took on Alex Riley.
Okay, well, unfortunately, for Trey's Pugdog and James Vanderbeek, Alex Riley wins via disqualification.
A-Rai over Vanderbeek.
And the disqualification occurs when Vicky Guerrero slaps Alex Riley. And Dolph gets disqualified.
It smelled like a dog shit in her mouth.
And Dolph, finally standing up for himself, starts bitching at Vicky Guerrero and yelling at her. So,
did anybody else get that? This may be too far. I don't know. This may be borderline tasteless. But I've already dived in. Jumped in. I might as well say it now.
You may as well.
Did anybody else get a twinge up their back or a little weird feeling when Vicky Guerrero was in the ring and A-Rai talked about some dead person shit in her mouth?
Yeah, he kind of did. Wow.
I went, oh, really? Did you have to go there? Oh, my God.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
And if I had to explain that to you...
We won't go there. That's, wow. Derailing the show. So next up, we had a very highly entertaining match. R-Truth versus John Morrison. And I got to admit, I'm actually watching this match now as we speak. Some hellacious fucking bumps. The spot that gets me is when they're both on the outside and Morrison is standing on top of the guardrail and Truth trips the legs, where John Morrison ends up falling neck first back into the barricade. And then from that point on, R-Truth dominated. I mean, he just beat the living shit out of John Morrison and really tweaked that neck. You know, a lot of people have said, well, what's up with John Morrison? He's lost every match he's had. And do they actually have an official match set up for SummerSlam? I'm not sure if they do or not.
I don't think officially yet. But we know that he is 0-4 since Triple H brought him back.
Yeah. I'm telling you, if they give these two a match at SummerSlam, Morrison's going over.
God, he better.
Because he has to. He's lost every match, and usually the guy that gets his ass handed to him before a pay-per-view usually comes in and gets the victory.
I know it's professional wrestling.
Right.
And no one man has ever whooped my ass four times in a row. But in real life,
if I'd got my ass whooped four times in a row, I'd just say, I'm going to quit fucking with that guy. I'm going to quit fucking barking up that tree. Fuck, every time I do, I get my ass whooped.
So I'm looking in the chat room, and Swack says John Morrison should be like Gail Kim and quit the WWE too. Why? John Morrison has so much potential.
He's making good money.
I mean, he could be a top superstar. You know, even X-Pac, Sean Waltman, did a video last week where he critiqued Raw and had some advice with John Morrison. And I agree with what he said. John's got all the tools. He's got the look. He's got the athleticism. The problem is, and the crowd loves him. I mean, God bless him. He's one of my favorite guys. But, you know, Sean hit the nail on the head. He's got to be a little more ferocious. You know, after everything that R-Truth has done to him, that tag match they had last week, he was very weak in his attack on R-Truth. You know, if a guy tried to end my career, I'd be all over that son of a bitch. And I think that's the problem that John Morrison has, is he's not considered to be an ass kicker. You know, he's a flashy guy. He
needs
to have
that edge.
I'll
tell you what, if I was him on fucking SmackDown, I'd be walking around looking for fucking R-Truth with Janice or something, ready to fuck him up.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I just, you know, and I have to agree. I think that Waltman makes a good point. I think if John Morrison had a little bit more edge to him where, you know, he might be a flashy guy and he might, you know, jump off the top of fucking, you know, the WWE sign and do all this parkour shit, but at the same time, he's a guy that'll fucking stand toe-to-toe and brawl with you. And I think that's the knock that he's not getting. But the crowd loves the guy. I mean, they're always behind him. So, I don't know. We'll see. I think he could be a top superstar if a couple things were remedied. I mean, obviously,
I'd like to give this guy credit in the chat room, but he's under an anonymous name. He says, R-Truth's music is better than Morrison's.
Yeah, I'm going to agree. That's another thing about Morrison. I think they should repackage him and get rid of that fucking Jimi Hendrix wannabe fucking theme music. It sucks.
You can't hear Jimmy. You
it
listen
just
to
sucks.
Jimmy, but you can't hear Jimmy.
This ain't no make believe. Oh, I hate that song.
Now listen, this ain't no make believe.
But I will say, I will say something for Morrison. That guy bumps his ass off. Did you see the sell that he had for the for Archer's finish tonight? The pay dirt. God damn, he fucking flipped over with it. I thought that was a fantastic sell. The guy is great in the ring. I don't know. There's that intangible that's missing.
I can either confirm or deny that one Chris Kelly is responsible for his music.
I'm pretty sure that we can deny that Kelly had anything to do with that.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
He has his way of infiltrating things where he shouldn't be.
Well, that's just because he's a stalker.
Yeah, true.
A little restraining order will take care of that.
What's that guy's name?
Chris Kelly.
No, the other stalker. Marisa Stalker.
Chris Kelly.
Marisa Stalker.
Chris Kelly.
No, the other fucking guy, the 61-year-old.
Oh, Lee Sibler.
Yeah, he's our Lee Sibler.
Anyway, next up we have John Laurinaitis and Triple H shown in the locker room going over the details for this contract signing for the WWE Championship at SummerSlam. And that's our next segment of the night. Ooh. Scary.
Mufasa, Mufasa, Mufasa.
Mufasa. We're not doing Burkina Faso tonight. What are you talking about?
No, that's what you reminded me of. You went, ooh.
Oh, what? I was Scar all of a sudden?
Say it again.
Ooh, scary. So anyway, Triple H comes out, saunters his way down to the ring, and basically introduces both participants in the title match, both being the WWE co-champions, if you will, both CM Punk and John Cena.
If you will.
And, of course, Johnny Ace joins them.
Why?
And there's a bit of a back and forth between CM Punk and Triple H. Is he kind of cuts Triple H off and says, you know, why don't we just stop the shenanigans and, you know, throw the table down and everybody just start whooping everybody's ass, basically. And
shenanigans.
You know, he says that he wants to pitch the way he feels about John Cena by an actual movie star. And he goes, you know, I've got an actual clip from a movie star, and I'm not talking about you from The Chaperone. And so then he goes
and
to the screen.
The best comeback was, how's your movie doing?
Yeah, and then Punk responds with, oh, fine, it just came out on DVD, just like yours. So we get the clip of The Rock from a few months back where he talks about John Cena.
Boring.
So then we have John Cena, who starts making fun of himself, I guess trying to endear the millions and millions of the fans that hate his fucking guts. Unfortunately, it didn't sway me a bit. I still hate his fucking guts. Sorry, John. I don't find you funny. I don't find you charming. I just find you fucking annoying.
Now you just say that because he's always around the title picture.
Again, I've seen enough.
If he came back in 6 months with a fucking 5 o'clock shadow and was a bad guy, you'd be all up his ass.
I'm thinking he should take an extended hunting trip, maybe to Afghanistan.
Hey, he could go with Shawn Michaels and film an episode of his show. I think he's in fucking Burkina Faso or some shit in Africa. Right
well, yeah, now. He is in Africa somewhere.
Maybe he heard about, maybe Shawn, since he was on the show, became a listener, and he heard about the plight going on in Burkina Faso, and he went to go help.
But this all ends to basically...
No comment.
SummerSlam, yeah, I'm not going there. This all ends with, you know, this big contract signing that, you know, this is the final appearance. This is the go-home show as SummerSlam is Sunday. Cena says the pressure is on him. Talking about Punk.
Yeah,
and what's Punk
like
going
to
do?
Punk loses, he goes down to mid-card status and starts fighting Jomo and fucking R-Truth. And
so Laurinaitis tries to break up John Cena and CM Punk before anything physical
happens. Anybody
know
who Super Dave Osborne is?
I do.
Does Johnny Ace not remind you of Super Dave?
With his voice, yes.
Like, he looks like him, too.
Yeah, he does, now that you mention it. So anyway...
Hey, CM Punk, come over here and kick me in the face.
So anyway, Laurinaitis tries to separate both Punk and John Cena. Cena goes after Punk. Triple H shoves him.
You don't like it when I interrupt you doing this stuff, do you?
I don't. I really don't.
Even when I talk like Johnny Ace?
Well, yeah, because I'm trying to get through a show that's not 3 hours long. Because, you know, at the end of the night, I'm the one that's got to edit and, you know, archive it and shit. And then get up at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Call Johnny Ace.
Anyway, that's... Fuck it. That's your Raw recap for tonight. Phone calls...
I thought Raw ended like shit. I wasn't even looking forward to the end of that. You know how sometimes you look forward to the end of the show, and then it doesn't deliver? I wasn't even looking forward to this shit. I mean, is it bad? Well, no, because you hate Cena so much that if he wasn't on TV, you'd be happy. But is it bad that the only thing to look forward to out of this entire fucking thing is when CM Punk gets a microphone in his hand? I mean, that's sad to me.
Apparently, I forgot to mention the former talents that were mentioned on air. Yeah, well, you know.
I mentioned them.
Too bad. We talked about it at the top of the show, so, you know. It is what it is. As far as a grade, you know, I give it a fucking C-. It's the worst. It's one of the worst go home shows I've seen in a long time.
I had a feeling you were going to say that. I didn't want to steal your thunder, so I let you go first. But I wholeheartedly agree that it was one of the worst go home shows. I said this once about another go home show, but what about tonight makes you want to buy that fucking pay per view? I mean, they're only selling it on the fact that it's going to be Cena and Punk and Triple H in the main event. I mean, that's it. Other than the Kelly Beth match, there'll probably be a ARI Ziggler match. There'll probably be an R-Truth Morrison match. And then SmackDown shit.
Yep. So phone lines are open, guys. 501-588-7957. Say what you need to
say.
That's interesting. Get in, get the fuck out. That's how we're doing it. So 5 minute limit.
Do you think that SummerSlam will have the worst buy rate of all time with this SummerSlam?
No, I don't.
Really?
I don't think anything could top December to Dismember.
No, I'm talking about the worst SummerSlam ever. Not worst pay-per-view ever.
I think they've had a few worse ones over the last couple of years.
Really?
Yep.
Man, I can't remember any SummerSlam where I was more blah than this one.
I don't know. I mean, going into this, you know, this title match is really the most compelling thing about SummerSlam. I mean, at least it gives you a reason to want to see it. I mean, I'm interested in seeing the title match, even though I just touched my computer screen and completely know how this match is going to go down. I've already told you.
You shook your magic eight ball, didn't you?
No, I have fucking psychic ability. I can see the fucking future. Netflix is rubbing off on me. I told you what's going to happen. But enough. Let's go to the phone lines. Welcome to Wrestling News Live. Who's this?
Good hello.
Oh, goddamn.
Oh, goddamn. We got 5 minutes of Sergey. What's going on, man?
Well, you have 5 minutes of Sergey, but not really 5 minutes of Sergey. I'll just switch back. You actually have 5 minutes of Nem.
That's 4.5.
Could not be bothered doing Sergey this week, because honestly, Sergey's just pissed off that Vladimir Kozlov's being fired.
Failed. Kozlov.
At least he got mentioned on Raw.
I remember saying a couple years ago there was this big campaign. Hell Kozlov. Now it's fail Kozlov. Moving on.
I love double E.
double. But I've actually got a question. I'll be fucking honest. I didn't watch Raw.
No, actually, I lie.
I watched about 15 minutes of Raw, and I went, "Yep, fuck this." Changed the channel. Went straight back onto getting more questions for the chat room. I actually have two questions. One. Trey, how many times have you said, what makes anything that happens on this show make you want to spend your hard-earned cash buying that pay-per-view? I think you've said it about 10 times between both companies.
Right.
It's just both companies are doing it, that they're just having really good build-up, and then the final week it's just... Jesus fucking Christ. What the fuck was that? The problem with
Raw is this is the only story they've really got going that's worthy of, you know, pay-per-view status. And it's been kind of force-fed on you now for, 4 weeks? Where it's all about Cena and his belt. It's all about Punk and his belt. It's all about Triple H and how he's going to fix things and, you know, we got that the first week they came back. It'd be nice if they would have built a few things around it, but I guess we'll find out Sunday.
So what's the other question, Nim?
The only other question is I want to ask Trey if he thinks Stacy Keibler would be a good girlfriend for Cody Rhodes.
For Cody Rhodes?
Oh.
No.
Yeah. For Cody Rhodes, because then he can just grab the ponytails and face fuck the fuck out of Stacey Keibler.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
That just happened.
Come on, man. Skull fucking at its finest.
How about Melina?
Melina too.
Chances are that's probably already happened in the locker room.
Yes. Just thinking that, yes.
But yep.
Quick plug, What Will Fans Do, Saturdays. Sorry for the 4-hour show, everyone. I'll deal with it. We'll make sure it's only half that next week. Anyway, guys, quick call in tonight, and hopefully I'll be able to talk to you guys after. Deal with things later. Okay.
Later.
Thank you. Paul. Later, guys.
All right, Dan. So, I guess really the big question is, you know, since Melina was released, how is the morale in the WWE locker room?
I mean,
the guys lost, obviously.
That ain't right.
A lot of their perks on this job. So it's sad that some of the boys are just, you know, not getting their jollies taken care of now that Melina's gone. But
Somebody getting passed around the locker room.
But hey, then again, you know, Kelly's still there. So I guess there's hope. Allegedly. But anyway, let's go back to the phone lines. Welcome to Wrestling News Live. Who's this?
Hey, this is Mike, man.
Hey, Mike, what's up?
Man? I mean, now come on out, JJ. You've been wrestling long enough. We know the reason Morrison is losing because he's still being punished because of Melina. He said a smart-ass tweet tweet last, what, Thursday after he was fired, he's still being punished. I mean, this is in him a mess, hoping that it'll get through. Either going to play by our rules or you can get your ass out the door, too.
And the sad thing is, it continued tonight with her showing up thinking she was just going to come right on in.
Exactly. I mean, they're trying to send a message. I mean, they're like, we want you to be a star, but you're going to have to, you know, let her go. So if he's willing to sacrifice his career over her, you know, hey, then so be it. But, you know, it's on him. That's the main reason he hasn't won, since he'd have been back.
Maybe he's going to tell creative, I'm going to keep fucking her until you give me something to do.
I tell you what, man, Val Venus kind of had it right. You can't make a hoe a housewife.
No, no, you can't. You know, that's why Vince McMahon ain't no secret. He looks at him as being weak because of that. I mean, I'm sorry. And then another thing that you said that The Rock was going to come back to put over Cena. Well, listen to Vince McMahon talk. He says The Rock was going to be around a couple of pay-per-views after WrestleMania, so that made me think that he's going to beat Cena at WrestleMania. Then in return, he'll stay back and put over Cena. Then he'll put over a CM Punk. I mean, after hearing Vince McMahon say that he's going to stick around after WrestleMania for a couple of pay-per-views. What you guys think about that?
Well,
go ahead, JJ.
I'll be real honest with you. What I see happening is that these guys are going to be bitter rivals going into WrestleMania. You know, they're going to have the match. John Cena is going to find a way after he's kicked out about five or six rock bottoms. And after after the Rock is kicked out of five or six attitude adjustments, you know, he's going to get hit with one and Cena is going to pin the Rock. And then they're both going to stand up and they're going to hug each other and you're going to have respect and all this other bullshit. And then the next night on Raw, they're both going to be on Raw, and they're going to talk about how they respect one another, and then they're going to end up tag-teaming together because maybe CM Punk or somebody else is going to start talking shit about him, and that's what they're going to do with him post-WrestleMania. But the entire goal is to put John Cena over because he didn't get that from a guy like Stone Cold. You know, he's beaten Triple H. Yeah, he's beaten Shawn Michaels, but he didn't beat any of the top guys from the Attitude Era. Mm. And that includes The Undertaker. So they're bringing in The Rock to do him a favor and to make him a made man. And I don't think it's going to do shit for him. I'm sorry. I don't even care anymore.
Well, now, and JJ, one more thing, JJ.
What's up?
When Ring of Honor go on weekly television in September, you must do a Ring of Honor, you know, weekly show. I don't know if you talked about it or not, but you have to do it.
Well, you know, maybe I can find somebody on the network who wants to do a Ring of Honor show. I mean, I'm busy right now. I mean, my life has altered, and I can't really tell you guys what's going on, but my life has altered quite a bit in the last couple of days. So I don't have as much free time as I used to, and because of that, I can't see myself committing to another show. I mean, as it is, I'd almost like to back off of one of the ones I have, but you know, it's kind of crazy. Maybe I could find somebody else to do a Ring of Honor show. It's possible.
Sure, I know what we need. I know what we need.
What?
We need to get, since, I mean, Trent's talking about it in the chat room, we should get some black people together and have let them have their own show on. Oh wait, never mind. That's been done.
Wow. Yeah, the last time that show was here, it didn't last long.
As long anywhere else either.
But then again, they had some pasty faced foreign kid that was kicked off the show. So I mean, I don't know. Who knows?
You're also talking about how, is it Mike on the line?
Yes, Mike.
They're talking to the chat room. I don't know if you're in there, but they're talking about how black people are taking over the show.
Hey man, ever since Barack came president, hey, you can't tell us nothing, man.
That's right. We got a black president. They all come out of the woodwork and took over wrestling his life.
You know, I still wish the Dave Chappelle show was around. Can you imagine the skits that he would have for Barack Obama?
God.
Oh, my God. I would kill just
for
that. Oh, my God. I would kill just for that. Just, oh, man. Just
the
one
Chappelle
episode.
Shit, the Chappelle shit alone would get him reelected.
You know, I still... I still remember the episode where he had the what was like the black president. It was supposed to be like Morgan Freeman, you know, talking about what happened in Deep Impact. And he comes out on the press conference and says, well, the media is going to hit the earth. And I'm going to be in a bunker with these two twins. And they're really clones. that was some funny shit. I missed the Dave Chappelle show.
Yeah, man. But serious though, man, I'm at work. I work the second shift. I listen to you guys on my part, man. I can't wait till 10:30 come around, man. Y'all help my night go along faster, man, you know.
Cool. What do you do?
Working the hospital. I work in the hospital.
Oh, shit. Somebody's flatlining. You're listening to our ass.
Oh, great. We killed them.
Oh, that's Mike at work. He's supposed to be working. He's all the time. Listen to the radio show.
Wait a minute. I hear something in the background. Beep. Oh, shit. I think that's John Morrison's career. Get back here. Help him go out.
Go toward the light. Go toward the light.
No, don't go to the light. Don't go to the light.
Well, Mike.
See, y'all getting me in trouble. I got a bunch of white people looking at me like, what's wrong with the big black man laughing?
Don't worry, they're white people. They're just confused. They're not going to say anything to you, and they're damn sure not going to attack you because they're white. So just let it go. Don't worry about it.
Mike, duck and cover. The police are on the way.
Step away from the white people. Mike, step away from the white people.
Okay, I just waved them. They waved back, so I guess everything's right, okay.
Well, yeah, they do that. They'll say stuff like cool and peace. You get one of the things that's hip, he'll say word.
All right, Mike. Thanks for the call, brother. I'll talk to you later. You get to sleep till noon tomorrow. I don't, so I'll talk to you later.
All right, man. I'll take care, guys.
All right, man.
Peace.
All right, so I think we'll take maybe one or two more calls, and we got a couple emails to read, and then we're getting... We're getting the hizzy up out of here, man. Know what I'm saying?
These are the white people were staring at it.
Yeah, it's never a good thing when white people are staring at you. But
especially when you're a single black man and there's a group of white people, that shit gets crazy.
Yeah, true that. But before we go to our, let's go to our next caller. Welcome to Wrestling News Live. Who's this?
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Loki07 in the chat.
Hey, Loki, what's up,
man?
Hey, JJ, I just want to say I hope your psychic powers are messing up because it wouldn't make any sense for me to have CM Punk feud with Triple H without the title.
Now, see, I'm with you, but my psychic powers don't lie, brother.
Do they mess up often?
No, I'm pretty sure. I mean,
they're pretty accurate.
It's not 100%, but I'd say it's about 95% sure.
Damn, you know, let's hope you're slipping because it just doesn't make any sense, you know, because that title is the thing you can, you know, this is the one thing you have hanging over CM Punk's head. If, you know, if you don't have that, then what are you, you know, what are you fighting about?
Well, but again, you look at it. I mean, with CM Punk, he's a guy that walked away from the company after winning the belt. And now that he's back and you've got the two champions running around, it does make sense, as much as I hate to say it, to have John Cena, look, I'm going to hell for this. It makes more sense to have John Cena go over with the title, and I hate that. I fucking hate that I'm saying this.
And wow. Somebody write that shit down.
Mark Tate.
I don't think so, because you can have Cena go out and feud to somebody else and, you know, give somebody else a rub.
Well, logically, yes. But it is what it is. It's John Cena. He has to have the WWE Championship. It's not a matter of he needs it. It's he's got to fucking have it. And that's,
I think, it's in his contract, actually.
It probably is. Because, you know, and this is my biggest argument with him. You go back and you look at all the WrestleManias that he's been a part of. All the way back to WrestleMania 20, which was a U.S. title match in which he won the belt from the Big Show. Every match since WrestleMania 20 has involved the title. And every match since 21 has involved either the World Heavyweight Championship or the WWE Championship. Whether he's won it or lost it or not won it, he's always been involved in a title match at WrestleMania. It's never been a one-on-one grudge match against this guy. It's always been for the title. And I'm just so sick of him being crammed down my fucking throat.
Dude, it's enough. I mean, I remember he won the title back when I was in high school, and I'm about to graduate from college, and this fucker still has a title.
I know.
Well, the sad thing is, you'll probably go in for your master's, and he'll still have the fucking title.
He'll be like Vern Gagne. He'll be like 70 years old and still be the WWE champion. He'll fucking walk out with his fucking walker and fucking with his arthritic little hands, put his fucking hand in his face. You can't see me.
Oh, you God, I hope
magic,
not.
You know what my magic 8-ball tells me about this match?
What?
It tells me that with all this confusion, I'm telling you, Alberto Del Rio cashes in and goes on to Raw to face Rey Mysterio and beats Rey Mysterio so bad that Rey has to take some time off because he's already fucked up his knees. We already reported he's going in for another surgery, and it explains how he's going to be gone for a while. And what better person to do it than Alberto Del Rio? Because CM Punk fighting Rey would just be CM Punk defending his title. Cena beating Rey would be Cena defending his title, and Cena's not going to do anything that would put Rey out because he's a babyface. Alberto Del Rio, number one, is going to defend his destiny. Number two, he doesn't like Rey Mysterio, so if he can put Rey Mysterio on the shelf, he's going to do it. That's why I think with all the smoke and mirrors and all the bullshit of everybody getting sidetracked by Cena and Triple H and CM Punk, that Del Rio actually cashes in on Sunday night.
It's possible. Well, that wouldn't be too bad. He can finally fulfill his destiny.
And then that turns everything upside down because now you got Cena and you got CM Punk both chasing Alberto Del Rio. Somehow James Van Der Beek wins it all. Takes the belt back to Dawson's Creek.
Wouldn't that be a trip? Wouldn't that
yeah,
be
I got
trip?
One more question. What's up? Trey, in TNA, since the bootleg LAX isn't really doing anything anymore, you know, Mexican America. And
sucks.
And, they suck. But in Double J, the champion in Mexico or whatever, couldn't they, like, feud with each other or something? There's a storyline there.
What I'm thinking is, you know, Mexican America had their shot last night at the tag titles. They failed. Not only did they fail, but they failed against a tag team champion that is beat up and needs to take some time off with Rude's arm being fucked up and Storm having a bad back that they're selling big time on TV. If you can't beat them at their weakest, you might as well just move on. And I think that this is going to lead to Double J parading that belt around like he's somebody. And Hernandez coming out and saying, whoa, 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 wait a minute, I'm taking my belt back to my people, blah, 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 blah.
I mean, yeah, the storyline writes itself. I mean,
yeah.
And not even Russo could fuck it up.
Well, don't say that.
You give him too much credit, brother.
A fucking chili cheese gordito could come down there and interfere in the match, and Taco Bell could be champion if Russo has his way.
Yeah, that's true. That's it. You guys, keep up the good work. Thanks.
All right, man. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, man.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Welcome to Wrestling News Live. Who's this?
Who is?
Hey, guys. It's me, Miss Destiny, the Donista of Wrestling News Live.
The Donista.
How are you? Well, Trey Dog is the dog. Well, I'm the Donista.
I don't even. That's a big word. I don't know what that means.
Donista. I'm a little bit of a fashionista of Wrestling News Live, of course.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a question, and I said to the chat room a while back that the next time I'm on the air, I have a small thing to confess. But the question is, what do you guys think about Gail Kim not getting the Divas title belt? Because I was hoping that Miss Kim would have been the first to get the third belt and the trifecta, and not Mickie James and TNA.
Well, it's unfortunate. It is what it is. I see a future in the knockouts division for Gail Kim.
Well, she said today on her Twitter account or somewhere that she's pissed off at Vince, she's pissed off at the company because they wouldn't let her do anything, they wouldn't let her work, and they wouldn't put her on TV, but yet she's important enough that they're going to make her fulfill her contract. Even though she's not going to be with the company, she can't go anywhere else until her contract is up. And so a lot of people started asking the obvious question, how long do you have? And she said, not long.
Well, you know what? And I think that's fair. I mean, let's be honest.
Well, yeah, you're the dumbass that made the jump from TNA's world, knockout champion, back to the WWE where they didn't use you at all. They didn't use her at all. The whole time she went back to that company, she didn't do anything.
Well, the only thing she did notable was she played Daniel Bryan's girlfriend for like a cup of coffee. But look, here's the thing.
He's a vegan.
I mean, look, here's how this works. You know, if Brock Lesnar signed a multi-year deal with the WWE back in 2004, and then a month later, before WrestleMania, decided, oh, I don't want to be a wrestler anymore. I want to go pursue my dreams in pro football. And he signed a multi-year contract. Was it right for him to try to get out of that contract after signing the contract and then citing reasons, oh, well, I didn't like the travel, I didn't like this or that? I understand Gail Kim's argument, but at the same time, when you are contracted to be somewhere, you need to fulfill your obligations. And I can understand her being frustrated and upset. And if she doesn't have long on her contract, then good on her. But if she had five more years, then by God, Vince has every right to make sure that she sits at home for the next 5 years and draws a paycheck, or she'd be in contract violation and could be liable for a lawsuit. I think that's perfectly acceptable.
Mm-hmm. I kind of agree with you, JJ. And I'm going to gloat a little bit by saying you're welcome for the Kurt Angle information.
And thank you for researching that.
Yeah, checked Wikipedia. And the thing I have to confess is I usually don't be this raw and open with people, but I just want to say thank you guys for letting me have a platform to speak on stuff. I do get on other radio shows. I'm not going to mention them because I don't know about the rules about that. But when I do get on the show, I try to get along with everybody, and I hope that I get along with everyone in the Wrestling News Live chat room. And I get a little nervous about the rules, like, don't do this, don't do that. And I get a little nervous and a little bit frustrated with some people. But I just want to say you guys have been real honest with me. You've been with me to the end, and I like that. And I just wanted to say thank you to Wrestling News Live for being so upfront and honest with me, letting me have the forums. Because with certain radio shows, I wasn't in the past. And one radio show in particular, I just did not like the way they were treating me. Everybody might know what it is and from my past, but I want to say I sometimes don't know the rules. When I first call in, I get nervous because I get very iffy about some people with my past. But I want to say thank you for at least not judging me for my past, but what I have in the present. Thank you so much, Trey Dog, and thank you so much, JJ.
Well, you're welcome, and you know we are for the fans by the fans. So that's what makes us different from everybody
else.
Thank
you so much, and I usually try to think with the rules, but I did push on one show, but I just want to say thank you so much for at least letting me be honest with myself, letting me feel welcome at home here, and from now on, you are my family, so I'm calling you Brother JJ and Brother Trey, or Uncle Trey if you want me to call you that.
Why I gotta be Uncle, because you think I'm older?
No. Because you and me would get along like an uncle and a niece in the family.
Okay.
You would treat me well, and I will guarantee you, if you were my brother, JJ, and if you were my brother, Trey Dog, I'd spoil you so rotten you wouldn't even want to look at another family member and say, oh, Lisa, a.k.a. Miss Destiny, spoils me rotten, da-da-da-da-da, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I would spoil you guys rotten.
Well, thank you, and we want to welcome you to the family, but Miss Destiny, thanks for the call, and we'll talk to you later.
Okay, thank you so much. And Trey Dog, JJ, please stay safe wherever you are, because if anything bad happens to you, it will be on your little sister's guilty conscience, okay?
All right, well,
you got it, babe.
You too, be careful.
Love you. Mwah. Kiss for you.
Thank you.
I think the Mafia is not ready to put a hit out on us yet.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think we're good.
Our chat room is an equal opportunity.
They are.
Offender.
I did want to say something real quick. I'm looking in the chat room, and
don't read what I've been typing.
I'm gonna have to disagree with CC Guitar God. I love CC DeVille, but he says, JJ, I'm pretty sure she's an at-will employee. She has no real obligation to the WWE. You have no idea how wrong you are when you sign a contract with World Wrestling Entertainment. You are obligated to work every date in that contract. If you are signed for a 3-year contract, You are obligated to adhere to whatever conditions are in that contract. If you break that contract, you are in breach of contract. It's not as simple as saying she's an independent contractor. It's not how it works. If that was how it worked, then how come Brock Lesnar went through so much shit when he signed a multi-year deal and wanted out of his contract and then fought Vince McMahon in litigation for the part of, what, 3 or 4 years before he finally was able to work other dates? I mean, it's a contract. WWE can break it at
wrestling,
will.
Wrestling fanatic says if she doesn't want to be there, why not just let her go? Well, because that sets a precedent for anybody else, and if they just up and decide they don't want to be there, you can let them get out of their contract for nothing? No. That's why you sign contracts. If you don't want to be with the WWE, the length of your contract, don't sign the motherfucker. It's that simple.
But at the same time, they have the right to make you adhere to the contract. If you're not working for them, you're still going to be sitting at home. You've got a no-compete clause for any other place.
Yes, they do pay out the rest of their contract. That's why it's a contract. Now, with that being said, when they release you and they come to you and Johnny Ace gives you that future endeavored phone call they talked about tonight,
yep,
they pay you until your contract's out.
That is correct.
If you quit like Gail Kim and go home and they call you and say, what's the deal? I just don't want to wrestle anymore for the WWE. I want out of my contract. Okay, well, then you're done. We'll take you off the roster, but you're not able to work anywhere else until your contract is up in 6 months or 2 months or 3 months, however long it is. However, while you're sitting at home, we're not responsible for paying you because you quit on your contract.
Let me just say this. I don't care if you agree with me or not. I really don't. I'm giving you fucking facts here.
They be the facts.
It's not my job to debate with you whether it's right or wrong.
Well, it's black and white, no gray in the middle. If you don't want to be there the length of the fucking contract, don't sign it. That's what pisses me off about sports players, athletes. They fucking sign a contract. Well, I'll stay here in St. Louis for 2 more years at this amount of money. And then they go out there and they hit 40 fucking home runs and they go, well, now, wait a minute. That motherfucker over there hit 40 home runs for the Brewers, and he's getting paid 3 times what I'm making. Well, motherfucker, then you should have asked for that money before you signed the contract. Period. Serve out your 2 years and then shop your ass around. But don't shop your ass around until your 2 years is up. You signed the fucking contract. Nobody put a goddamn gun to your head and said sign here or die. You signed the motherfucker. You gotta basically do what the contract says.
So
when the contract is over, shit, yeah, go get your money.
I'm extremely confused as to what your argument is. Wrestling Fanatic says that's our argument. That you feel it's wrong. She shouldn't have signed a goddamn contract if she wasn't going to fucking be obligated to follow through with it. If I'm a contractor and I sign a contract to fix your fucking house, and I walk off the fucking job,
fix my roof,
I breached a goddamn contract. I shouldn't have fucking signed to say I was going to do your goddamn house.
And Eddie Murphy shows up and lives in it for 2 weeks while they're getting it finished.
You have legal recourse to fucking do something about it. How is this a hard topic to understand? God damn, I don't care if you think she should be let out of her contract. If I'm Vince McMahon and you walk out on me, by God, I'm going to hold you to your goddamn contract. You'll sit at home for 6 years if that's what you got. I'm not going to sit here and debate with you motherfuckers. I don't care if you like what I said. I'm stating a fucking fact.
Fuck it, we'll do it live. I just don't know, unless it was money, it had to be money, what made her think going back to the WWE the second time was going to be any better than it was the first? And why would you go from a company, TNA's not the WWE, but you're the flagship of your division. You are the shit of your, Gail Kim was the woman in the women's knockout division when it debuted, and she was the champ. You know, why would you want to leave? I just don't understand. Especially with a much lighter work schedule.
Yeah, her pick is still up on WWE.com. That's part of the drama. But when her contract is up, and according to her, it will be soon, she will be in TNA. And that's probably why, you know, you say WWE doesn't fucking care about TNA. Well, they might not. But they don't want to let her go either, knowing that she can show up on TNA anytime now, too. Crowley says the WWE doesn't want to release her because they want to bring her back to the roster despite her comments. Why the fuck would you want to go back? Hey, we're going to have a Diva Knockout Battle Royal, and we want you to be the first one eliminated, and we want you to eliminate yourself so quick that nobody notices. If you remember, and you go back and listen to that Wrestling News Live, and we talked about the Raw recap, and I said, holy shit, did you see Gail Kim? She got eliminated as soon as the fucking bell rang. Happened so quick, I didn't even see who fucking eliminated her. That's because she walked in the ring and jumped over the top rope. That's fucked up. Well, let's just call it a night.
So, we'll do emails next week. I'm sorry, I'm just not in the fucking mood.
See what y'all did.
So, hope you enjoyed the show. Hope you enjoyed the Devin Nicholson interview. So, on that note, it's been
fun,
guys. It's been real. I'll see you next week for another edition of Wrestling News Live on Monday. CauseCast returns tomorrow over at cause.ws. If you're thinking it's going to be here on the network, you're thinking wrong. It's not going to be here. So go over to cause.ws at 11 p.m. Eastern. Be the return of myself and Charles Shane to the CauseCast. Wednesday, the Pro Wrestling Rewind returns. The Power, Andy Knowles. Check it out. Friday, I'm back with another edition of Unplugged. And to right a wrong, the guest will in fact be Shane Helms, not Michael Tarver, as some idiot predicted on Sunday Night Showdown last night. I love it when someone on this network promotes a show and doesn't fucking get shit right. If you don't fucking know what's on my show, don't fucking promote it.
I think it's fucking simple. Helms. I don't know.
Also, what would fans do Saturday night? Sunday, there'll be another episode of the Elite Force podcast with Walkie and Mindwipe. Sunday night, we'll be back bringing you live pay-per-view coverage of SummerSlam.
SummerScam. We'll see you next Monday, and enjoy the rest of the week with all the shows on the network. And join us on Sunday for the pay-per-view.
And I will be uploading a new episode of Beyond the Bell with Sean Beckerman tomorrow, so you can check that out. It'll be part two of his SummerSlam retrospective.
Oh, nice.
So, with that being said, we're out of here. JSK, take us the fuck out of here, man.
Cool. With that being said, thank you very much for listening to the show. Thanks for everybody that participates in the forum boards, and thanks for everybody participating in the chat room. Until next week, peace, 420, kiss my ass. Good night, white people. I'm out. No.
Time is not affiliated with the WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, or any other professional wrestling and or entertainment companies, and exclusive to the SNS Radio Network.